Sorry about that.
That's great. Okay. Even when it's on zero, it rings. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Today is October 19th, 2011. This is the regular board meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District. The time is 6:06 p.m. And Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Casares?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez? Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
All right, and Ms. Gonzalez did call in and said she would be running a few minutes late, so she will join us briefly. All right, at this time, if we could have the, who is the representative of the cheerleaders here? Would you come up here to the front and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please, to the United States flag, Ms. Artera?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Artera. Appreciate it. All right. You want to read the mission statement? Ms. Casares, would you please read the mission statement for Canutillo Independent School District?
Yes, sir. Canutillo Independent School District will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Casares. And along that note, the very part of the mission statement that says prepared for higher education or our workforce ready, our district has surely made some advances in the career and technology, and we are even sending a resolution to the state to make sure that we have a consider having a separate graduation plan for career and technology, which is would be a first for the state, and certainly something to look forward to that we can get done. All right. Next agenda item, Tony.
Board of Honors, Mr. Rodriguez.
Good evening, Board President Coronado, members of the board, and Dr. Murphy. It's again a pleasure for me to be here to do board honors. So I'm going to ask you please come down and join us in the festivities down here in the steps. Not missing a day of school for 1 year is a great feat. Making it to class every day for your entire high school career is amazing. But coming to school every day without missing a single day throughout your entire public school career is, well, just unbelievable. That's exactly what Armando Nunez, an extraordinary member of the class of 2011 at Canutillo High School, did. From the day he enrolled in the district as a pre-kindergarten student, to his high school graduation last May, Armando made sure to take his attendance seriously. In the time of financial woes and state funding depending on average daily attendance, it's important to note the achievement of students who like Armando. It's worth noting that Armando attended Davenport Elementary, Canutillo Middle School, Canutillo High School. He is now attending UTEP and majoring in criminal justice. Could Armando Nunez please come up and receive a special recognition from the Board of Trustees for never missing a day of school?
Thank you.
Que la mamá, por favor, si gusta también pasar. In case you're wondering, Armando attended Pelvio schools a total of 2,314 days. Wow. One better way to show that Eagle spirit than with a hearty cheer? And who better to lead us than the Canutillo High School cheerleading squad? It's not a rhetorical question. CHS cheerleaders have garnered a reputation of being one of the top squads in the city, and they proved it again earlier this month by winning the Something to Cheer About competition at the Outlet Shops of Ohio. The Eagles competed against teams from throughout the area, and although they performed last, they came out on top, winning the championship and a $1,000 prize that will help them fund their activities for the rest of the year. Could the members of the squad please come up as I call your names? Marisa Arteaga. Kimberly Escobedo. Brittany Felix. Jasmine Hopkins. Maya Henderson. Daisy Ramirez. Jessica Sell. Shania Stanford. And Ashley Thomas. The varsity squad is made up of Jackie Bethesda, April Jo Vega, Kayla Santos, Stephanie Rodriguez, Vanessa Montivero, Jacqueline Oliva, Patricia McKenzie, Jasmine Garcia, Ashley Flores, Vivian Quinn, <Quinn, laughs> Erica Chavez. Kristen Aguilar. The always popular mascot is Lina Jovetran. And their sponsor is Ms. Cynthia Abdaga, teacher. Musicians and academic team members make it to area and out-of-town competitions safely and represent the Gunnethio School District. It's critical then to take some time out of the day to recognize the hard yet important job that these employees do on behalf of the children of Gunnethio. We will call each one of them by name. When you hear your name, please come up and greet the board. Maria Flores. Monica Alonso. Elvia Baeza. Jaime Valleres. Marina Casana. Gerardo Cruz. Hey. Gilbert Duran. Adelaida Ogun. Antonia Jester. Josué Laguna. Linda Mendoza. Juan Miranda. Amy Lou Mogi. Carmen Blanchet. Soledad Romero. María Cimental. María Vaquera.
Step up. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Another one. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, guys.
And last but not least, October 12, 2011, that's last Wednesday, in case you're wondering, was declared Texas School Human Resources Day by Governor Rick Perry. I would like to read the proclamation that Perry's office released in honor of the thousands of HR employees who work in school districts like Huntsville. It reads like this. A message from the governor. Across the great state, human resources professionals at Texas schools play a vital role in ensuring our students get the best education possible. Human resources professionals are responsible for implementing effective practices and for the hiring of quality staff to teach young Texans and keep schools running smoothly. Daily, they serve the needs of students, teachers, and administrators, creating a healthy environment in the best interest of the students. I commend all of our dedicated education human resources professionals for the important role they play in ensuring that young Texans are prepared to meet the challenges of the future. Therefore, I, Rick Perry, Governor of Texas, extend best wishes to everyone observing Texas Education Human Resources Day, October 12, 2011. Please join me in recognizing the employees of the CISD Human Resources Division. As you hear your name, please come up and greet the board. Mario Carmona. Mike Gonzalez. Juana Gutierrez. Carlos Ontiveros. Mary Alex Williams. And Martha Carrasco. There are three HR employees who could not be here today. Patricia Romero, Laura Ramirez, and Kelly Gonzalez.
Congratulations to everybody. Cheerleaders, great job.
Bye, cheerleaders. Thank you.
Who's the best cheerleaders in the state?
CHS.
We really, transportation workers, thank you so much for coming this evening. We really appreciate
Transportation, and Human Resources Department. Thank you, guys. And how about Mr. Armando Nunez?
Yes,
huh?
Mr. Nunez.
Wow.
Nunez, way to go.
You know, Gustavo, I think make sure you send this story to the media. This is something that's, you know, you don't see happen very often. Actually, I don't think I've
probably in the state of Texas, there's nobody who's done this.
That's quite a feat. I mean, I almost did it.
Mr. Chair, I have a question, if I may.
I missed it by like 150.
Dr. Murphy, I see Mr. Ravelis take pictures of all of this. Does he forward these to the appropriate parties?
They're placed on Facebook or anyone can download.
Anyone but like me.
Yeah.
I mean, it would seem so appropriate if possible that, you know, even if it's just a piece of paper copied off, I bet all these people would love it.
Sure, we do. We are accessed quite often on the Facebook regarding the pages, but we also could probably run some copies.
Yeah.
And we certainly will and forward photos for anyone who asks for them. Well, including people that just, you know, after the meeting come up to me and ask for copies, I'll definitely get one delivered to them.
I would think it would be real nice if it was just standard procedure. The people who came and got their picture taken.
Correct.
Got a picture, that'd be good.
No problem.
Great. Gustavo, that is not a tie. That is a fashion statement.
I was on the fence about buying it, but I decided to go for it.
Now that is orange. Board, any comments? And I just can't get over what you know our cheerleaders did coming out on top, and our student, Mr. Nunez, to, you know, have that kind of a dedication to get up every single day. I'm sure there were times when he was ill or sick that, you know, he could have just stayed home. But, wow, how many days was that?
It was
2,000 and some odd straight days?
314.
You know, I think he broke the major league record of attendance for games, too, for anybody.
That's
people
probably like
I could do that. That would be like a lot.
Is there any way we can have this maybe what in the newspaper or something like that needs to be media-wise?
Certainly set a press release.
That'd be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Certainly deserves recognition. What dedication to do that. So. Thanks to our transportation department again and our human resources. Congratulations on receiving your honor tonight. We really appreciate the service of everybody, not just everybody in these departments, but you know, everybody is in the entire district part of educating our children. We're all educators, including our bus drivers at transportation. Everybody helps in some way to make sure our kids get educated, and we really thank them for their service. So, anybody else? Thank you, board. Thank you, Gustavo, administration. Tony, next agenda item.
Superintendent's comments, Dr. Murphy.
President Coronado, board members of the audience, my three comments tonight. I really appreciate the parent-teacher conferences that we had at the beginning of October. We do this every semester. We took 3 days where the kids only came half day, and the other half was dedicated to parents coming up and speaking to the child's and the children's teachers, counselors, and principals. We did this October 4th through the 6th, and we had record attendance this year. We're very pleased to announce that all the principals really talked about the stellar strong attendance that we had across the entire district. We also then on the 7th had a half day for the entire district to let the teachers recuperate after doing all these parent conferences during the week. But when I heard about the stellar attendance and in many cases record-breaking attendance, I really wanted to share that with the board. We very much appreciate the parent involvement here in Kenyatta ISD, and it seems to be rising to even greater levels this year. And thank you, principals, Marguerite Armendariz, who helped coordinate a lot of it, and just everyone for your great effort, the teachers in particular, for meeting for hours and hours on end that week with parents. Fantastic work. Board, I do want to invite you next week, October 25th, to the Region 19 Hall of Fame reception, where all of our campuses that received a recognized or exemplary rating will be honored in a reception for Region 19. All Region 19 schools
that receive recognized or exemplary status. We will be getting you a formal invitation in your Friday packet, but I do want to let you know that we have several schools that are recognized, and of course, one that is exemplary, and we will be there representing Canyon-Teo in that effort next week. We look forward to that. Finally, I do appreciate President Coronado and our legal counsel, Steve Blanco, who accompanied me to Austin to the headquarters of ProLogic, where we were able to meet with teams representatives regarding our concerns about the team's implementation here in Canyon-Teo. I think we were able to send a strong message, and Steve and Sergio, thank you very much for coming with me and Diana Hidalgo, our internal auditor. I do want to report that soon after we went, their chief operating officer, Gary Axman, the chief operating officer of ProLogic, got on a plane, came out specifically to Canyon-Teo, and spent 2 days, long days with us, sequestered away in our finance department, going over issues and listening to our concerns, which we very much appreciated. Furthermore, we've had follow-up phone conversations with him and are moving forward. We're not there yet. The feeling is that we do have the flywheel turning once again on the product, and we very much appreciate the intervention that President Coronado and our legal counsel were able to get there. So I do want to report progress on teams. Now, it's the first time in quite a while I've been able to report that, but we are satisfied that we're moving forward. Thank you very much, President.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Any questions or comments for Dr. Murphy on his reports? All right. Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Tony?
Item 4A, discussion and possible action regarding implementation of Boys and Girls Club of El Paso program at Canyon-Teo High School.
Through the chair. President, I'd like to introduce Penny Sexton of Arcelor Middle, who is one of our best partners. And Ms. Sexton has a short presentation to the board. Gustavo and Connie Parker will help facilitate.
Hi, Ms. Sexton. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
I'd also like to present our general manager, Mr. Ramaswamy.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Board President Coronado, board members, and Dr. Murphy. My name is Aloiso de Avila. I am president of the Boys and Girls Club Alumni Association. I am representing our alumni association. We have reps from Canyon-Teo Elementary and from Arcelor who will present a little bit of what it is that we're doing. I am also representing Arturo Jaime, who is the director of the Boys and Girls Club of El Paso. He could not be here tonight because they're having their own board meeting as we speak right now. A little bit of history on how we started. It was a vision, a dream by Mr. Jesus Reza, who is treasurer of our alumni association, in talking to his wife, Irma, who is an elementary school teacher at Canyon-Teo, and speaking to Consuelo Parker about the need for after-school programs. And the conversation started about how about partnering with the Boys and Girls Club of El Paso? And it seems like a natural fit. We started having meetings, brainstorming sessions, and of course, the one important facet of all this is that we secured funding from Arcelor Steel to really jumpstart this program. The alumni has also given money already to the program so that we can have this program be a model for all of the other school districts in El Paso. A little bit about what it is that we're going to do. It's going to be located at Canyon-Teo Elementary School. It's a site-based Boys and Girls Club at the elementary school. The time will be from after school until 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. We hope to serve about 300 elementary school students in phase one for the first year, and then increase it gradually if we can be successful for the second and third year, and hopefully for a long, long time. There will be a staff member, two staff members from the Boys and Girls Club, who will be here all the time during the time that the Boys and Girls Club site location is open. It's going to be very, very important that we have corporate and community volunteers. I should say that we've also met with someone from the FBI, and they're ready to partner with us and have somebody here with the kids doing mentoring services. The alumni is prepared to do that also. Program rotations for the actual program that we hope to run, there'll be a rotation one hour, they call it. It's homework assistance and tutoring for the kids. Rotation two is triple play, they call it. Healthy habits, physical activity, nutrition and social development. And then rotation three, they call it STEM activities. It's fun science, technology, engineering, and math activities. It's a far cry from the Boys and Girls Club that Mr. Pesa and I knew. You know, we're testament to really the Boys and Girls Club. He's a retired accountant, big time business type of person with,
pretty much as a controller's office out of the copper refinery. It used to be Phelps Dodge, now it was sold out to Freeport Mac Moran. So I spent 25, 26 years of my career, not only here, but also in different parts of the country, in the controller's office. So
I'm a retired HR type from Customs and Border Protection, had a successful career in federal government, retired a couple of years back, and we have lawyers, we have judges, we have retired chemists, we have all kinds of, but the one thing that we all hold dear to our hearts is that education is the key and keeping out of trouble. And I think, anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, let me add something to it. Talking to Arturo, this particular council, which would be a relatively new way of doing business for the Boys Club, he looked at it out of McAllen, Texas, where they have pretty much this same concept that we're trying to ask for your permission to implement in the Kennedy School, elementary school. And they do it in 18 schools. And it's proven to be very successful. And the cost to run each one is roughly about a third of what it does cost to run a regular Boys Club standalone. So it's something that I think is a very natural evolution that is taking place, especially times like this, economic times like this. And we feel that it would be a win-win situation because it really would help also the school and also the Boys Club to grow. And then, of course, they'll add support with having a great corporate supporter here with ArcelorMittal, which a lot of you may not know or may know, it is the largest steel company in the world, okay? And it is a French company, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to add that we as a CSC committee last year, we were brainstorming on how we can get our students engaged after hours, because we saw that there was a need that our children went home and there was nothing for them to do. The streets were their best option, or there was no parents. So as a CSC committee, we decided, what can we do with our limited budget? So as we were brainstorming, Mrs. Parker, my husband is an alumni of the Boys and Girls Club. What do you think about that? And I said, let's start brainstorming. So all during summer, we went back and forth. And the one critical thing that we lacked was funding, obviously, because we knew as a school, as a district, there was no way we could be able to fund something like this. So I mentioned to the gentleman, I said, I have two great partners that have worked with us all year long, and that was our ArcelorMittal and also the FBI. So we brought in both, and Ms. Penny Sexton stepped up to the plate, as she always has, and she said, let me see what I can do corporate-wise where I could be able to fund you all, where you wouldn't have to cost district nor the school, and all we have to do is lend them our children, which we have plenty of to share around, and second, the facility. And that's when then Ms. Sexton approached her corporate office. And Penny, you want to take over now?
Yes. We have a presentation to the Boys and Girls Club of $16,000 to start a program here locally on behalf of the Kennedy School District. So,
the end, it's about the kids, and it's about serving more kids. As Katsuhisa indicated, in McAllen, Harlingen area, they have, I believe, 18 or 19 Boys and Girls Club with sites at the schools, and they serve 10,000 kids. We have three clubs, and it's a struggle every year to get the grants, to get the money, to do the fundraising and all that, and we reach maybe about 1,200 kids. So you're seeing the potential to reach more kids, to keep more kids out of trouble, and have them have a legitimate opportunity to succeed. As I said, Mr. Reza and I are testaments to what the Boys Club, Boys and Girls Club can do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
As a corporate sponsor of the school district and the Boys and Girls Club, we thought this would be a very good fit for your school and for your children. Mentoring has proven to keep children away from drugs as well as keep them in school. So this program, I feel, is a very good fit for you as well as well as for us. So we thank you, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to again to support the school district and to support the Boys and Girls Club.
Thank you.
And this is just an information session. We will take it to the proper committee to have you all decide. But we wanted to let you know what we would like as a district, as a school, and with corporate backing, like Mr. Reza, it's the only win-win situation for all our children.
Well, we certainly appreciate the concern for our kids and helping them along to succeed. We thank you for your participation, the Boys and Girls Club, the alumni, and Soresa. Our partner, ArcelorMittal, we are deeply indebted to you for the support that you have given us in today and in the past with respect to helping us with the education of our children. And we deeply appreciate your support, and proud member of the community, and we really welcome all the support from all our community members, and we really are very indebted to you for allowing us to make this accessible to our kids and give them another step up to make sure that they succeed. So on behalf of the board, we really deeply appreciate not just your resources, but the time, the interest, and the support that you place in our district and our children. So thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. On behalf of us, we are also deeply thankful for all of your help in letting us to lend support when we have several activities, and Kenny is our corporate responsibility manager, and she does a pretty good job in keeping this up. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Coming up, and we'd like to shake your hand. Actually, let's go up and take a picture of it. Just follow.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. No. Was he on the board? Is he on the board? Oh, got some to work. Is he a CPP officer? What does he do? Name sounds familiar, but thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
One of the old times.
There you go. Thank you. I'm Tony Westbrook. Yes.
HR. Labor and lawyer relations.
Scoot the check over here.
Yes, the mandate.
There you go. I can't see your feet.
Me?
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Here we go. One, two, three. Another one. One, two, three.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Through the chair.
Dr. Murphy?
As Ms. Parker pointed out, we're not here tonight to ask for approval of this. And Steve, maybe you can help. We want to enter into negotiation with the Boys and Girls Club to create an MOU to bring back to the board for consideration of approval of this program. So do they need to direct administration to do that?
Sure. Do you want a motion on this direct administration? Mr. President Cornell and I were talking about it as he walked by. We need an agreement for access to the facilities.
Oh, yeah.
Assignment of duties, obligations.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to direct the administration to do just that.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion on agenda item four. To direct administration to enter or to prepare the, I guess, an agreement or memo of understanding with respect to implementing a Boys and Girls Club of El Paso program here at Canopy Elementary School. Do we have any further comment or questions? I just think this is a great idea, and Connie and the Campus Improvement Committee, thank you guys for thinking this out and for getting it put together, and I think it's just about there. And again, we appreciate everybody's involvement in this, Mr. Reza. Small world.
Yes.
Small world.
Mr. I also, I would say this counts as a grant, everybody.
That's right.
Oh! Yeah. Good one, Dr. Murphy.
So we thank you guys for getting this done, and we will bring this back to the board. We'll direct administration after this motion passes to get together with Boys and Girls Club, our legal counsel, to review and prepare a memorandum of understanding with respect to this program. And again, we appreciate very, very much, not just the resources from our local community sponsor, but the time that everybody else has put into this. So, any further comments, questions? Tony?
Mrs. Cazares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you guys again. Bye. Next agenda item.
Item B is discussion and possible action to enter into agreement with Public Service Board for wastewater treatment at Kennington Middle School. Mr. Rondales, Mr. Blanco.
Good evening, Board President Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce Mr. Lopez, Felipe Lopez from El Paso Water Utilities Public Service Board, who's here representing El Paso Water Utilities.
Good evening, Mr. Lopez.
Okay. Today I'm here to give you an update regarding the administration's meetings that we had with El Paso Water Utilities regarding the possibility of connecting sewer to Canopy Middle School as part of our bond that we went out for. We had two meetings with them. I had previously reported that we had two meetings with them. The first meeting was just really to give introduction, to introduce the district and to kind of relay information regarding what our needs are and how we would like to proceed with this, and if they could pretty much give us an idea as to how much it would cost to do this sewer connection for us. And at the second meeting, of which I have some copies for you all, what you're seeing up there is also in the copies. What we discussed in that meeting was basically most of the discussion in the second meeting was called by Mr. Ed Archuleta and his engineers, was to for them to let us know what they were proposing for us, and really to give us some good news as far as the cost for the connection of the sewer line. They looked at two options. Obviously, one was going through Bosque all the way down east to the nearest connection, and they felt that the cost would be prohibitive, and of course, shutting down streets would be a major problem for the area. And their recommendation was to go underneath the river. And as you can see on the map, and on the maps that you have
page two
in front of you, on page two, you'll note that that where you see kind of QISD, that is CMS. And where you see the little kind of up the hexagon that you see there, that's basically the main point of connection. That's where a lift station would be. And Felipe, if you can jump in anytime you want on that. And from that point, they're proposing an 8-inch line that would run almost parallel and then come down, come across, and go into El Chanate lift station. There's a lift station that's currently there at the other side of Donovan. The cost for this, the turnkey cost for this, including design, would be $1,522,000. We were very happy to hear that because our budget was well within that that funding. Mr. Archuleta asked Dr. Murphy if we could proceed with negotiations or with discussion of agreement. And Dr. Murphy asked him to wait and to hold on because we needed board approval on this. And that's what we're here for today. We're here to see if we could get the permission from the board to proceed with the agreement that, along with legal counsel, I'll pass the word.
Felipe, would you like to add anything?
No, Mr. Armendariz explained practically everything that we did. He said we looked at two scenarios. One was going down Bosque to Strahan, and that was like 3 miles of gravity/horse main that had to be installed. Plus, there was a lot of asphalt that had to be removed and replaced. So that kind of kicked up the cost a lot to about $3 million or so. So we opt to go with this one. It's a straighter shot, going through PSB land, minimal amount of paving. I like to explain, I said paving a lot, a couple of times already, because that is very expensive. The county asked for us to two-sack, that means it's kind of a concrete mixture for about 4 feet, and then they asked us to pave about 8 feet of right-of-way every time we cut their pavement, so that really jumps the cost up. So this is why we're going in more of a straight shot, going through PSB land, undisturbed land, and we don't have to worry about pavement as much.
Great.
Can I ask a question,
happy to,
Chair?
Yes, Dr.
Felipe, what would be, I could imagine calls or concerns from the community about going under the river. Can you discuss that issue?
It really is no issue to us, Dr. Murphy. We've crossed the river many, many times, as well as the freeway, I-10. We have experience in hiring consultants who have actually done the paperwork, the application to cross the river with the International Boundary Water Commission. So it really is no mystery. We've done it many times.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Blanco.
Agreement we're contemplating would likely be an interlocal agreement and an agreement that would assign the responsibility for the engineering design, the construction phase, and overseeing the construction to the El Paso Water Utilities. They're the experts in the field. They'll put everything in order, and then we'll have an agreement with them for the wastewater treatment. This is for the construction only. It doesn't include the cost that you'll obviously incur going forward for the treatment.
All right.
And so that would be just a monthly fee.
Sure.
That that would come out of M&O and not IMS.
Right. That'd just be regular operations in the district. You'd have it anyways.
Right. And we're spending that on maintenance of the wastewater treatment plant that we have ourselves now, and so that's clearly something we want to get rid of. So Board, any questions? Ms. Searles?
I have a question. Where is the El Chinante lift station? I can see a picture, but I don't see a street name.
The street name is called El Chinante Road. It kind of starts at Donovan and heads east towards the freeway. Kind of, the street kind of, I guess, bisects into two streets, I believe. Yeah. One is called Chinante, the other one is called, I think, Florida Street or something like that. But it's right at the intersection of Chinante and a drainage channel the county maintains just between I-10 and
That's the Family Dollar in the True Valley right up
there. Oh,
the
okay.
And then
that's what, thank
the Rasa Home Development.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. That's what I needed to hear. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Mr.
Rodriguez?
Just a couple of questions. We're looking at 1.1. Is that
1.5?
1.5. Are we also looking at possible savings if depending because of the construction market on the bidding?
Sure, and we're also looking at maybe saving based on dewatering. One of the estimates, in the estimate, we have some fees for dewatering for the lift station itself and for the forced main. If we take advantage and do it in the wintertime, that cost may actually go down. Mm-hmm. So the answer to the question is yes, we could. We probably save in construction costs and due to the dewatering during the season.
So the 1.52 would be a maximum cost?
Yes, sir, I believe it is.
And that's what I was going to get at. So we're looking at an interlocal agreement up to 1.5.
That's
well, the interlocal bit, we're looking, that's what we're saving, but it's going to go to them, right?
Right, that's what we're going to propose based on the numbers. I mean, obviously there's going to be some discussion back and forth with their council and obviously their board.
Right.
To approve the final interlocal agreement and the operation and who's going to do the bidding. We're expecting the water utility to do all that.
And because they're the experts in that field, I would say. The thing is looking at making sure, or not making sure, but seeing since once we get the 1.5 and have it in the PSB's hand, under the interlocal agreement, we'll be able to see that?
I don't know the structure that they're going to request. If they're going to ask it to be paid up front. A lot of times we do interlocal agreements and it's paid by pay application. When their engineers determine that something's been done to a certain point and the contractor or the engineering firm that's doing the design work is ready to be paid, they'll tell us and then we'll make a payment to them. But I don't anticipate that they're going to ask for the money all up front.
Okay.
Probably what we're going to be doing with them once we get together. We're also going to be involved in some of the design criteria as to where our line is going to be. In fact, we've, even before this, we had other discussions with them regarding, you know, how long our connection was going to be and how we could possibly even save some costs on it. This one shows already the changes that we had requested when we met the second time with.
If I may add, based on your comment, board member, this is a preliminary cost, and like just like I said, the cost could go down based on the watering, based on the season, based on the construction. It could go up again, you know. And I would think that Mr. Trulletta, and I don't want to speak for him, but we've done MOUs in the past where we can use actual numbers when we receive the bid from the contractor. But on the, again, this project is not in our CIP, so we don't have the money to construct the lift station for you and then get reimbursed. It would have to be something similar to, you have the money available, we'll put up with the bid, and you pay us somehow at that time, as soon as the construction starts, just before.
Just one last clarification. Would it be a memorandum, or would it be an interlocal?
It's going to be an interlocal.
Okay. And then I don't have a problem because then we would be able to, the interlocal agreement would come back to us
sure.
For approval.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? I have one question. With respect to, is anybody else going to be able to hook up in terms of the residences or the other venues there on close to this? Would they be able to hook up? And if so, is that part of the something that we might be able to save the district down the road, or?
Well, Mr. Board President, obviously we don't construct just a lift station to serve one site. We look at a regional approach and determine the best location for the lift station where people at future connections could be made more easily. We selected this site because there is a residential development to the west of Deal Middle School, which is, I think, Ponderosa is the village name. In the future, and I don't know how many years from now, 10, 20, depending on if grants become available, funding becomes available, we intend to be able to provide service to that area as well. The village of Minton is also in the middle of constructing a wastewater system for their development that will funnel or convey wastewater down towards the south and trying to pick it up at that listing station that we're going to construct. Obviously, we're going to increase the capacity, modify it, add to it, but we're going to have a backbone, a starting point with your lift station. Sometime in the future, we also have plans to construct a wastewater treatment plant, maybe half a mile, quarter mile north of this one site. So I'm talking maybe 25 years from now, the lift station might be there, might not be there, but we'll have a wastewater treatment plant to pick up, to treat everybody north of La Union, kind of La Union Street, north, and Binten, and so it's, I'm in charge of planning development, the water utility, and that's what I see for the future for this area of town.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else?
I have one other Lori. Question. Just for clarification, I see that the blue line is to designate what is public service board land. And it looks to me like it goes across Bosky Road and now encompasses Gallegos Park. Is that mistaken?
No, ma'am, that is correct. The PSB owns that land. As a matter of fact, I think PISB is also leasing part of that land to the Gallegos Park. That's what I understand.
We own part of
yes.
Gallegos.
Yes.
It's the area right below. You see where the baseball field mm-hmm. is? Mm-hmm. That's ours, but that's part of the Gallegos Park.
That blue line is not the bottom of Gallegos Park. It's up a ways
okay.
into the park.
In fact, the swimming pool is just happens to be within that our property.
Yes, it's our pool.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? So just
a clarification under the question that Mr. Coronado asked with the lift station, I mean not the lift station, but the route that we're going, possibly some of the stores like the True Value and the Ace, I mean, and the Family Dollar, aren't connected in some of those areas? Are they connected to those Nebraska homes?
No, sir. The everything south of where the lift station is at, the terrain drops in kind of a quick fashion. That is the limiting location for sewer at this time, the lift station itself.
Okay.
That is the local point.
And if after the project were to be completed, is that your all's or are we able to recruit some of those fees for those hookups?
Nobody will be. The force main is a pressurized main, so nobody can connect to the pressurized main. All sewer systems are connected to gravity mains, so nobody can connect directly to that red line that you see on this picture. In the future, again, we're thinking of bringing down a gravity main, crossing the river again, and discharging it to the lift station I just talked to you about, and then pumping it back up. But that's, I'm not sure when, 3, 4, 5 years from now, I couldn't tell at this point. It all depends on the availability of grants.
Well, and one point that I'd like to make is that they've been planning that since, 10 years ago?
Yeah, since like I started that. The audit tool.
So, it's a big question mark.
Again, development has decreased. As you know, a lot of people see development growing, but it's really decreased at the rate that it used to be back in 2006. It's really mellowed down a lot. So, it's a crystal ball.
All right. Anybody else? Well, I think it's imperative that that our district move forward as soon as possible with this. We obviously understand what our needs are over at Canfield Middle School, and so the sooner we can get this going, I think the better everybody will be, and we get rid of a potential health hazard over across from Bosque Road, across from the middle school.
We've been waiting a long time.
We've been waiting quite a long time. So I'll entertain a motion at this time.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Rodriguez.
I'll make a motion that we direct the administration and our legal counsel to enter into an interlocal agreement with the COVID Service Board for the wastewater treatment plant at Northfield Middle School.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Agenda item 4B, to direct administration and our council to enter into an agreement with the Public Service Board to provide wastewater treatment at Canutillo Middle School and report back to the board on the agreement for approval. Do we have any further discussion or comments? No? Mr. Armendariz, Mr. Dr. Murphy, Mr. Blanco, and Mr. Lopez, thank you very much. And make sure you that you also thank your people over at the Public Service Board with respect to helping us in this project and allowing us to actually hopefully realize already some savings and maybe even more that we could be able to use for a lot of other much-needed projects in the district. So we appreciate that you all took this effort to find us a better solution than what initially we had contemplated from going through Farm Road 259 or through the Vinton cutoff. Is that right?
Right.
So thank you all very much. Any further questions, discussion? All right, Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Serrano?
Yes.
All right, thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Lopez?
Thank you.
All right. Next agenda item, Tony.
Madam Chair.
Dr. Murphy.
President, this is an opportune time. The next three items, C, D, and E, as Tony calls them, we would like to kind of combine because they all kind of run together about the finances.
Right.
So I'm not exactly sure how you wanted to, how we call that.
Well, I can call all three of them at the same time.
And then maybe at that time you could also go over that memo where we're going to table five items.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we'll discuss those after this agenda item, I guess, after these three agenda items. So, Tony, if you'll call agenda items C, D, and E, then.
Item C, discussion and possible action regarding status, investing opportunities, and arbitrage situation related to 2006 bond funds. Item D, discussion and possible action regarding investment opportunities related to 2011 bond funds. And item E, discussion and possible action regarding 2006 bond funds in relation to 2011 bond projects.
All right. Good evening, Ms. Aguirre, our business advisors.
Yes, we have Maria with us and, of course, Corky from First Southwest.
First Southwest. Thank you guys for being here again. Corky, nice to see you again, Maria. All right, who's going to start?
Ernesto is also part of this presentation. I guess he'll be doing the clickety-click, though. But he has an important part to play, too.
It's not responding to the clickety-click. Oh.
Okay. The item we'll be discussing is, first of all, the 2006 ballot-approved projects for the bond series in 2006. And we'll discuss the redirecting of remaining 2006 bond funds, the 2006 arbitrage status, and then a 2011 ballot update on investment opportunities. If we flip the page to page two of the slides, we're going to go to slide four where it's titled the 2006 ballot approved bond projects. You will recall 2006 bond series was a total of $39 million that were issued. And basically this slide provides the projects that were approved in the ballot with that bond series. And it ranges from land purchase and to the building of two elementary campuses, security cameras, roof replacements. I don't want to name all the projects, but basically that gives you an idea of what projects were approved at that time. The next slide, which is page 5 on page 3, that continues with additional projects. As you can see, at that time, Gunnethio High School, what they call current Gunnethio High School, became Gunnethio Middle within this time period as well. And so we move forward to what we call now remaining funds and proposed projects. On this slide, number 7, basically I'm going to provide a breakdown of how the funds are the remaining funds are currently allocated. We have a total of $11.3 million worth of 2006 bond funds, and they're broken up into the following segments. Projects approved in fiscal year 2010, there is a total of $544,000. Now, these projects will elaborate in the next slide, and we can provide more information on the status of those projects. The second item is land costs for pre-K-8. Now, this is a $2.2 million that we allocated, or we purchased the land for the pre-K-8. The third item is bond tax relief in the amount of $3 million. And we had also the board approved in July the early bird projects that totaled the $2.3 million. And then in September, the board also approved allocating $500,000 for the Northwest cafeteria facility. So when you deduct these designations from the $11 million, we have $2.6 million remaining to be allocated into different projects. Okay, this next slide, number 8, is basically the remaining 2006 bond projects that were designated in fiscal year 10 and that totaled $544,000. Mr. Mendez, do you want to elaborate or do you have a question related to any of these listed here?
Through the chair.
Dr. Murphy.
This 544 is what is still remaining.
Yes.
It was initially larger than that, the designated projects, but there's 544 remaining.
Yes, under the, if you will recall from the September board financials, the construction projects, we were reflecting naturally 808,000. And through the last couple of days, we've contacted companies, made sure that all the invoicing has been submitted, and that has brought down the amount to the 544. Do we continue?
I have a question. You're talking about this $544,000. We still have some commitments out of that, or is that exactly the balance?
There's commitments out of it, and Mr.
Yes, in fact, I think the previous report that you got had the PA system and the fire alarm system. The PA system and the fire alarm system systems upgrades have been done. The only thing that's missing on the fire alarms upgrades is the fire marshal needs to make time to come and visit the campus, but the actual fire alarm system, the actual PA systems are in the schools and operating. Okay, the two items that you see there, the exterior surveillance cameras and lighting retrofits, the lighting retrofits is the second part of the first one that we did. I think if you recall, we had done the lighting retrofits for the classrooms and the hallways. What's left to be done are the gymnasiums. For the district-wide gymnasiums and cafeterias, and then the exterior surveillance camera, that has to be bid out. And that's right now something that that Ron and I are going to be sitting down so that we could put the scope of work and specifications together. Electrical panel upgrades, that's part of what is IT's needs for the upgrades over here on this area that they're going to put in the new servers. So that's still sitting there waiting to see how much we're going to be using off of that. And the ADA projects, that's the only thing that we have left in the ADA projects is about $20,000 worth of work of what the first phase that you had given us was to take care of the CTE projects. If you recall, that was something that we had been written up for not meeting some CTE programs, and we've met them since, and now the only thing that we have left is about $20,000 worth of projects that we need to complete.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Mr. Gitter, when I'm looking at this slide, I'm seeing an excess of $2,652,000. Yet when I drop down one item to $544,000, what happened to the difference between?
Because the pink shaded column or row is the second slide, number 8, is a breakdown of the pink
of
shaded
the pink.
Row.
Uh-huh. Okay, so.
And then we'll elaborate on the 2.6.
On the 2. Okay, I'm with you. Thank you.
All right, anybody else? Mr. Rodriguez?
On the fire alarms and the PA systems, when was that encumbered?
That has been ongoing for the last year.
That was in 2010.
And when were those costs encumbered?
I think it was I don't know the exact date, but I know it was the year 2010, when somewhere around November, December, that's when I pretty much started. Here.
Basically, what happened is a budget amount of, and I don't have the exact number in front of me, but the budgeted amount was something like $150,000. And so as we went into, actually we pulled out the vendor file for that specific project, the vendor that was dealing with the project, we broke it up into the actual payments that had been made, and then Mr. Amendales actually went and said, okay, this is already correct. So the excess funds were, then released to be allocated in additional funds.
So my question is, did they do work within the last month or so?
They did. They billed us through.
It was just billed.
The billing went through probably July.
July. And how much was that?
I don't have that.
I guess what I'm showing here is we have a projected budget from the 2006. Just let's say on the fire alarms, it's at 304, and we've encumbered some stuff. And we had a remaining budget of $50,000, and then now it's showing $5,000. So I would like to know when we encumbered that and how much.
I can provide you a listing of the payments that were made. As Mr. Armendariz sat and reviewed the payments and the projects and the invoicing that they did, that's how he determined that the project had been done. And so the excess funds that were allocated in that account were then removed. And now called excess funds instead of tied to that fire alarm project. But I can provide a breakdown of what was paid and the dates.
Put that in Friday packet?
Yes.
The other question is, like, even looking at the PA systems, what, it's not showing under the remaining cost of the 2006 bond projects. We're not looking at the remaining cost of that. Why is that?
Because there too, he reviewed the invoicing that we had in the file for the last 2 years. We went fiscal year 9, fiscal year 10, and the current year, fiscal year 11. And based on the invoicing he saw and realizing what had actually been done, he determined that the project had been completed as well. I'll provide a listing of the payments that were made with copies of the invoicing for your information on Friday.
Okay, that will work for right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Anybody else? All right. You continue.
Next slide.
On slide number 9, we have we proposed projects for the remaining 2006 bonds, and this is the fund, the 2.6 that you were asking, Ms. Strauss. And so basically, we listed projects, first of all, projects that would be expended or the repairs would be made out of our operating budget, and so if we allocate them to the 2006 bond projects, that would be savings to our operating budget. And so if you will see the first is it about 8 projects are just costs that the district would have to incur through operating, and then the last 4 projects are actual bond projects that were proposed in the 2011 bonds, but also fit the same description of the projects that were approved with the 2006 bonds.
And Mr. Blanco can give some direction here.
President Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy, I have had a number of conversations with Dr. Murphy and the staff about the 2006 bond and the 2011 bond. First out West Financial Advisors are here too, Mr. Rubina, and I have communicated several times about different scopes of the two bonds. What you had in 2006 was a bond that allowed for the acquisition, construction, improvement, renovating, equipping school buildings and property.
pretty broad in terms, but it only relates to those items, properties and facilities. It does not relate to the purchase of vehicles, equipment, for example, school buses. The 2011 bond, however, included all those items regarding property and facilities, and you can see they're designated here on the slide. But it also allows for the purchase of vehicles and equipment, including specifically school buses. With Ms. Regina's help, and we also spoke to Paul Braden, the bond council, we asked whether or not it was a good use of the 2006 funds to push them forward, essentially, to the 2011 projects. The answer is yes. You have the money, it's there, it's been approved by voter election, and you should use it. So we're asking the administration's support that you allow them to move the 2006 money forward, cover these projects on this list, that will then free up some of your 2011 money, which has a broader use. You have more of a scope in which you can spend that money on, including school buses. There's going to be an item, I believe, coming up for that. And so it's appropriate. It's something you can do. Now, whether or not you want to do it is obviously up to you.
And then I would just like to add that through the meetings with Steve and with administration and also with First Southwest Cell, initially we were like, okay, well, we're just going to make a motion to say we can use 2006 bond funds for 2011 and bring that to the board. Instead, we wanted to be as specific as possible. And so we've actually pulled out projects that meet the criteria for Mr. Blanco and Mr. Braden in the 2011 to use the 2006, and that is the refrigerated air at CMS, the grass play area at CES, the baseball field upgrades and plaza at CHS, and the school entrance and office renovation at CMS. And so we not only want to make a motion to allow it to occur, but we want to earmark it to specific projects, and that way we can track it even better.
All right. Any questions, board?
No? Hi, Julie. So just to clarify, the monies that you're asking to pull from the 2006, that was the money for the school, right? Yes. That's okay. Yes. And you're asking to pull it now so we can do some of these projects?
I don't think I understand the question here. Are you saying this money that was allocated for the school?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
No, it's the 2006 money that we're talking about is actually unspent excess.
Undesignated.
Well, it's designated in the sense that it has to be spent on certain types of projects. You have to use it for property facilities, renovating, those types of things. But it is not tied to a specific construction project. It's for use in that sense. It is extra money.
Well, actually, I believe I understand what she asked. Basically, before the 2011 bonds were passed, the 2006 bonds, the $11 million that were remaining, were because those were earmarked for the second elementary campus. Realizing that at this point right now, $11 million is not going to give you a campus. Through the bond, as it was successful, then we went ahead and designated some of them for the bond relief, and then we moved forward with some projects. But this is part of that original proposal of the $11 million remaining for the elementary.
Yes, in that sense, I understand. Yes.
Sorry. That wasn't clear. Thank you.
Well, they were designated at one point, but the community, by passing the bond, said, yes, we want you to change the project
right. And
do the new PK through 8.
Through our discussions, we did communicate that $3 million would be used for bond tax relief from the existing project.
Exactly.
And so, okay, I just want to be clear. These items that are listed, I thought we had already discussed this a couple board meetings back, and we were moving forward with some of these projects. Am I confused? Didn't we?
Are you referring to the projects? Those projects, right?
Yeah. Okay. I thought on that long sheet that Mr. Armandat has provided for us, there was several projects on there, and some of these look the same though. So I feel like we're repeating history. Didn't we already do this?
Let me review a little. Like the very first one, Northwest Early College, if you remember, in June we allocated $500,000 from fund balance that we had been saving from the last couple of years where we allocated the funds and didn't use them. And so then I put them in the fund balance with the intent that eventually we were going to build something there. Mm-hmm. So that first proposal is that instead of using our operating local fund balance, use the entire 1 million from the 2006 bond. My understanding on the geothermal pump and modulators, that is what Mr. Hernandez has been presenting on, that we didn't have as a bond project originally for 2011, so it's obviously going to be a cost incurred to the local budget. If we designate it to bond, it's a savings to the operating budget. The ADA playground equipment at CES, that's another potential finding that we are dealing with. And so this, through OCR compliance, that playground equipment is required. And so that's where that need, again, this would also hit our operating budget if we didn't allocate it to the bond funds. It's something we have to do, just redirect the funds. The landscaping concrete upgrades at AMS, it is my understanding, and Mr. Medeiros can assist me on this one, it is my understanding that when the 2006 bonds and the projects and the football field, there was some areas that, you know, we fell short of funding to actually complete the project. And so I believe this is that landscaping project that he's referring to. Under replacement of boiler pumps district-wide, again, this is a need that the district has at this point. And so if it doesn't hit, if we don't use 2006 bonds, we will be using operating funds for this. ADA compliant playground set at all elementary campuses. Again, this is part of the ADA that, you know, there's a need that we need to modify the way we have, you know, our existing equipment and at the campuses, and this would help our cause there. The irrigation system at CMS football field. Can you explain that?
Yes, that was probably one of the projects that was proposed for the 2011 committee, and that was one of the ones that got removed along with a bunch of others. What we have right now is we have a football field that is crowned, if you can imagine, it's crowned instead of flat. We have irrigation rights, but we can't irrigate that because the football field is naturally crowned. So right now we have to go in and physically turn on the sprinklers that we have out there that we had put in there, and they're couplers, what you call couplers, and we have to go in there and set them and then kind of watch them until they fill up and then switch to another. And the system itself was it was installed by someone of which it's not operating the way it should. So it's kind of like you kind of have a person there, and if we have an assigned person at CMS that actually has to wait until he has to physically switch it over to the center and then to the other end, and it's a time-consuming thing for us. And this is an opportunity for us to sprinkler the football field so that it can be set up automatically, and it can water at the appropriate times. Glad the water utility guy is gone, but sometimes we end up watering, you know, at the even times when we're supposed to be watering uneven. And that's largely because of the use of the football field. Sometimes they use it at a certain time and we can't water it. So now, if we go this route, it's going to be set up automatic and it can be watered in the evening when it should be watered. And that's where this came up.
Elaborate on the changing fence.
On the changing fence, we have two campuses, CES for one, and just a perfect example of that is when I was out there doing the OCR, the ADA assessment, I noticed that a lot of parents were just coming from the parking lot, walking to the playground area way to pick up their children. And I wondered what was going on when I realized that there's really a large gap between the building and the AMS football field that is wide open. That is an issue with respect to, you know, somebody coming into our campus and picking up a child without permission. And I noticed that I don't know if yes.
Here. You mean the area where I drive?
The area that you drive that he goes through with his vehicle. And we do have some parents that actually want to climb over the curb and take that. That's one area that I'd like to fence in order to keep it, parents and anybody else away from our children who are playing out in the back. We also have that back area where Margarita's area is, and the school. I mean, anybody that drives back through that road, you know, once they're behind that road, nobody knows who's there. And we need to fence that area. We need to kind of, we need to protect the area, our play area for our children. That's one. JDE has a similar situation, especially in the kinder side, where the parents can freely walk towards the kinder area rather than go into the main office to pick up their children. Sometimes they walk through there and walk the halls. So we need a fence from that building onto the perimeter fence that we have in there. So that's what those things are.
And then the last four items are basically projects that were proposed through the 2011 bond. However, looking at the description of the projects, they fit the description of the originally proposed bond projects on the 2006 ballot. And so that is how we designated. Again, just coming to that 2.6 remaining funds that we need to allocate and move forward with the expensing. And so that is how this was, this list was made up.
All right, anybody else?
Just a couple of questions. Going back to what we told the voters in this last bond program, we knew that we were going to designate the $3 million out of the 2006 for the bond relief. The other stuff, we talked about the land, but what was the breakdown on that presentation that we communicated to the voters? And, I mean, because this isn't savings, it's designated.
When we proposed, and I don't have the actual presentation in front of me, but I do know that we mentioned the fact that we have to cover the land costs and the bond relief, and that will leave an amount of about $5 million that would be used to complete projects, and then, in other words, complete some of the proposed 2011 projects to, you know, offset the cost.
It was also, through the chair, it was stated that a portion or majority of these monies would go toward the building of the new pre-K 8. Now, and you'll see on the next slide, if we offset these projects, we will then have an offset of the 2011 funds of $1.8 million on the next slide, which we then could absolutely dedicate to the new pre-K 8. And put that in that pot. It is true, and Mr. Rodriguez, you're totally correct. We could leave these four items on the bottom, the $1.3 million and then the other ones, in the 2011, because we have funding, and take that 2006 money and put it toward the pre-K 8 as well. And you are correct, we did talk to the voters about making sure that a portion of the 2006 remaining funds would go to the pre-K 8. So we could use the 1.8 remaining in her presentation, or we could simply say, you know, we're going to put all of it toward the pre-K 8.
The total, I guess what I'm trying to get at, what did we tell the voters we were going to do with the $5 million? The last board meeting, you all did the early bird projects under the 2.389. And so what was it that we told the voters that we were going to do with the $5 million?
I don't recall that it was actual specific projects. It was just that additional bond projects would be completed or used. Those funds would be used for additional, which is how the buses were already ordered. And, you know, we didn't have the funds till late August. And so through the summer, the football field turf, the buses, that, you know, there are certain items that we already, you know, began on the projects. And so I don't remember, without going back to looking at the bond presentations, I know that we said, we didn't specify what bond projects.
I do remember that we said we would put a large percentage of it toward the pre-K 8. I do remember that.
So how much was the total amount that we designated to the pre-K 8?
$21 million with $16
million. Without land cost.
No,
without the purchase.
Yes, right. Yes.
So it was $21 million.
Yes.
$16 million from the
without.
$16 million would be from the 2011 bond program, and then the $5 million. So that's where we're getting the $5 million that we're looking at here. We used $5 million. We used 2.3 for the early bird projects, and 2.6 is still left available.
Right, but the 2.3 early bird is, in essence, we have the ability to pay that back because it was designated in the 2011 as well. It's not additional projects. So that money is there one way or the other.
Yeah. The only difference is the first items, guys, on the 2.6 and the, if you look on slide 9, those that don't have the orange dots, those are additional projects that were not mentioned in the 2011 or 2006 bond projects.
That is correct.
Okay. So the only problem I see with that is these are extra projects that weren't covered by either of the bond proposals. And I don't necessarily agree that we take out the $500,000 and take it out of this money unless we've realized savings already. I don't know that we should do that. The other items, which is the $40,000 beginning on the geothermal pump, the ADA landscaping, I think those come to probably a total of, maybe a couple $100,000, guys?
Yes.
From geothermal all the way down to the chain link, right?
That's right, yes.
Those particular projects, obviously the ADA, those are necessary stuff that we could probably do in contemplation of the savings of the wastewater savings that I don't mind doing. I don't think we ought to plump the Northwest Early College High School $500,000 just to relieve it. We already have budgeted for it from M&O.
That's correct.
I don't know why we would do this. Board?
Mr. Chair, what I would be more comfortable is waiting until the projects are finally completed, and then we could have the total realized, well, it's not savings, but we could have a completion of the 2006 bond program.
Well, that would be great if some of these projects don't need immediate attention, but some of them do. And where are we going to get the money for it?
That would be under the...
M&O?
No, the bond program.
Well, it's either one. It's either 06 or 11.
Through the chair, the problem is that we only have $550,000 left in 2006 to complete the projects, which then leaves that 2.6. Even when we finish, we still have the 2.6. And I think part of the discussion tonight is what are we going to do with the 2.6?
Well, it's designated, as we told the voters, for the $5 million when you add the early bird projects. Designated to pre-K-8.
But most of that is getting replaced, Mondo.
Yeah, I understand that.
Except the $500,000 on the cafeteria down to the chain link fencing. It's the only thing that's not getting replaced. The other items are really, is we're just switching them from,
right.
That's really all that's happening. But these other items, the ones above the four orange dots, I mean, those other items, those are the ones that we need to just really focus and discuss whether we want to really do that, because those were not proposed on either bond. And so we need to decide. I don't unless we're really in an emergency situation with respect to our M&O to take out that $500,000 that we've already budgeted for the Northwest Early College High School, I don't see doing this.
The funds are allocated, and so that wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
It was just try to deplete the remaining 2006
funds.
So that would be the direction.
You mean deplete them and then take them out of M&O and back?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Just to deplete the 2006 bond funds,
right.
And then from the M&O put them into 2011?
No,
or what?
It would just be savings to the operating to the M&O.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
The other issue, Mr. Chair,
yeah,
is the remaining 2006 bond projects. I mean, we already have realized savings on the 2011 bond program,
right.
Especially as we discussed earlier on the type with PSB. So we're already seeing realized savings. I just don't want to muddy it up, and I'd rather use the realized savings on the 2011 when we look at that. But I want to see the remaining of the 2006 WAM projects completed. And then we could roll over the other that's designated towards the elementary.
Well, it's really a swap that's happening. They're already there.
No, I know. It's
the only thing we want to do is get rid of the 2006 funds.
Basically, what would happen
you want to
is
swap
that
them.
The projects would reflect the 691 account, which is the 2006. So some of the costs for the elementary, if I understand, would be designated, or you could see the account coding would reflect 2006, fund 691, versus the 2011 for now
right.
692.
What I'm looking at, I mean, it's pretty much a swap, we know that, but what I'm looking at is the remaining 2006 WAM projects, so that way we could just completely, because we might have realized savings in this, we might not, but there was a budget projected for the 2006 WAM program, and we still have some remaining money that needs to be either spent, well, it's going to be spent, but whatever savings, we could just send the realized savings with the 2.6 million that was designated for the elementary school to the elementary school.
President Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy, my name is Maya Rita with First Southwest. Let me just kind of interject a little bit here. You know, because of the discussion, you do have money sitting in an account for the 2006 series that haven't been used for close to 6-7 years. So I think the approach is you have two options. You can either still wait out and figure out, you know, if you want to find similar scope projects as you presented to the voters back in 2006, or you could theoretically also decide to, if you don't find any projects that you feel comfortable with, you could theoretically turn around and repay some of the bonds of the 2006 series. So you have those two options at your disposal. I don't think you're in any hurry to make immediate decisions. However, I think you do want to take a step forward and figure out what to do with the remaining balance of the 2006 program.
Okay. Well, and that was one of my questions of the issue is because we've had this money sitting around so long, do we have a problem because of the time frame? I know probably we're not there on the arbitrage issue as far as us realizing more interest than we were paying, which we did at one point on our previous bonds. This time I don't think there's a problem. The only one I was asking is there's also a time limit though. Is that not right?
Yes, and no, but you know, I discussed with bond counsel earlier today, and there doesn't seem to be a time limit. However, you know, the IRS, you know, in some way, shape, or form is wanting for the district to utilize those funds, whether it's for construction, for equipment, or I know for the 2006, you don't have equipment capabilities, but you either use the money for something or pay back the debt. So they're not going to come down and say, hey, why haven't you spent it? And you're correct. You're not in an arbitrage environment right now. So you don't even have a rebate check to them. So you're doing fine. However, I think that the practical approach would be for the district to decide whether we want to go ahead and use it for some projects or just go ahead and pay back the debt. Because I'll tell you that when you issued specifically some of the bonds for the 2006 program, and let me now start going into the arbitrage.
Slide.
Yeah, arbitrage status slide, which is slide number 12. When you passed the 2006 bond program, you issued four separate bonds for the $39 million. As I have put some of the information in here, you'll see that the bond yield is basically what the IRS tells you is your cap on investment earnings for your bond proceeds. So for the series 2006 and 2006A, you were looking at 4.16 to 4.46. And you'll see that as of today, you don't have any arbitrage rebate due to the IRS. However, on your Series 2006B, you have a small rebate that probably is going to be due here in the next month or so, and that's in $5,383. back in 2006 and 7, we were in a really great interest rate environment. I mean, you were earning close to what you were issuing. At this point, you're not. 2007, look at that particular one, because it's interesting to see that when you issued it, you had a bond yield of 4.75, okay? Because the money has been sitting in the account for a while, you haven't really even come close to the 4.75. So you have a negative arbitrage rebate of $522,000. What that means is that you're not even close to having to pay anything. So I guess that's kind of good news for you. However, the thing is, do you want to continue keeping the money in the account, or do you utilize it for something that in the 2006 bond program, you feel that it's comfortable and that that's what you told the voters? If not, then maybe repaying it, because I'll tell you that I've seen other school districts that have been in the same situation that you are tonight. They're trying to figure out, well, is it 2006 projects or not? Some of them have said, and not most of them, I'll be honest, they will go back and they'll defease the bonds, but it's doable. It's an option for you. Most of them, because they have a lot of deferred maintenance or they have certain projects that they want to undertake, they end up using the funds for other projects. But anyway, I'm just giving you a little bit of a summary of what I've seen in other places, but ultimately, it is your decision as to what you want to do with that money.
And you're not, and you're saying our timeline is fine?
Your timeline is fine.
They're not going to come back and say, because I know at one point they're going to say, you can't hold on to the money for this long without doing anything. They're not going to just let us hold on to it.
No, because you're paying it back. You're paying the money back. The thing that I want you to think about is that you're earning, 20 basis points? Well, maybe 16 basis points on the 2.6 million, and you're paying 4.75 back.
Right.
So that's just, the math, I think, that is whether you want to keep holding the money and earning 16 basis points or just using it for projects and calling it.
Okay. And why couldn't we that $500,000 from the 2.6 pay off to the initial PK through 8 instead of doing that? It's going to come up here pretty soon in the next couple months when we're probably going to start having to issue some.
Definitely.
Right?
We provided proposals based on the needs that we were considering, obviously with Mr. Armandati's help, as far as what in facilities is currently a need or an issue, and definitely nothing set in stone and something that you all can at least have a plan and then modify as you see necessary.
Well, I think that the $500,000 on the Northwest should not. I think we need to designate that over to the PK through 8, just like what these other projects are awash, the one in the orange dots. That would raise it to 1.8 plus 500,000. That's really basically 2.3, right?
Yes.
Plus the 2.3 we spent in the early projects. That's really a wash of 4.6 now that would go to the PK through 8 from the 2011, right? So really we have the difference of these other items as to whether we think we should spend that money on that or even hold it. My suggestion is something like the ADA playground, the ADA compliance on those issues and the boiler pumps. I think that's something we can consider doing. The Northwest Early College High School, I really disagree with that. I think we ought to just pump it back over to here pretty soon and spend some of that probably on the PK through 8 when we start dealing with the architects and the construction manager to start the ball rolling on the design process. I don't know.
So, President, what I'm hearing you saying is that there's four items on slide 9. Item 2, the geothermal pump. Item 3, the ADA playground equipment at CES. Item 5, replacement of the boiler pumps. And item 6, the ADA at elementary campuses. You're okay with that?
I would be okay with that. That's something we need to get done. Our ADA issues have, we need to complete those.
And then everything else would be taken off this list and simply put in an account for the pre-K-8.
That's what I would.
But the administration would be totally fine with that.
But that's up to the board, though. I have
a question. what I'm hearing are two different things. Mr. Coronado, what I'm hearing from you is everything is good. 2, 4, 6, 7 items are good. The only thing that you feel is inappropriate is the $500,000 for the cafeteria.
No, only four things you said.
No, actually, those other items are not really that high of an amount that I would, you know, discount. I figured that for sure all the ADA issues for me wouldn't be any issue at all. The geothermal pump modulators, I think we would agree, we got to get that done somehow, whether it's there or out of our M&O, and I don't know if our M&O can handle it right now. And so we're left with that, you know, I don't know, can we add those up, Ms. Aguirre, from the geothermal pump modulators all the way to the chain link? How much is that?
I have.
Mr. Chair, can I ask?
Mr. Rodriguez?
Just on the ADA, the playground equipment and the compliant playground set, is that something that we're adding or is that something that needs to be addressed?
Actually, that's something that needs to be addressed. That just recently came up in an OCR study, review at CES. The federal government got involved regarding
the GT and the
computer lab. Yes, we got written up on that recently, and we've been working with them on that. We did make some moves. We are compliant with the
GT
state.
GT and computer lab?
No, it's
the PTO and OT also.
Yeah, PTO and OT.
The location of the rooms versus
the old building. They were in the old building, so we had to bring them back into the main building.
But on top of that, what ends up happening is it opens the door for them to go in and look closer. And they said, you know what, we want the playground equipment to be accessible to our kids. And so, you know, sand doesn't work there. And you know what, some of the playground equipment there is not accessible, truly accessible for them, which in a sense is true. But, you know, those things just open up the door for them to come in and give us like another look. Even though we're compliant with the state and with TEA, this is a federal government stepping in and saying, well, we want you to meet these needs.
Then the other question is, under the geothermal pump and modulators, has that already been put in?
No, that hasn't. That's one that you're, it's underground. We just were, at the time, we were thinking that that could be taken out of this.
Sir, the amounts number 2 through the last one before the orange, the chain link, is $342,283, so just a little over $342,000.
Quite a lot more than I thought, but $342,000. I don't know what. I mean, I think.
Mr. Chair, I guess one thing I don't want to hurry it up anymore. What I would just say is, if we're gonna do the remaining 2,652,283 out of the 5 million is what's left in our bond program. What I would say, if we are gonna move it over to the 2011 project. But the motion would be that we're going to use that 2,652,283 as designated, as we designated under what we told the community to the elementary school. If that's what we're going to do. If we're going to actually, because it was designated, 5 million was designated, we've used 2,389 under the early bird projects. The remaining is that. And we should just designate it under the 2006, designate it to the 2011 bond program.
If you will notice on your, the bond projects, not the early bird, the second set of part 2 is what you were referencing the two. Under campus construction for the pre-K, the budget was set at 2.5 million. So very likely we could just turn around and you see the amounts and they're very comparable. We could just designate it and so that frees up the $1.5 million from the Part 2 funds that you approved at the September board meeting.
Because currently we have all the money, I mean not all the money, and the, while we do have all the money out of the, we have half of the money from the 2011 bond program, and we have the other money from the 2006 bond program in our banks. The thing is, why do we need to do an accounting thing when it's not that we need the 2006 money right now, we have both monies. So might as well designate the rest than what we told the voters. So my thing would be to designate the remaining 2006 bond funds of the 2006-5-2-2-8-3 to the elementary school, the pre-K through 8.
Without the, including the 342,000, you wouldn't let the 342 go to those projects?
The 342.
These projects?
The projects that...
No, what? I mean, you could address those issues under the 2011 bond program, correct? So then we could address it there. Why?
At a later date?
Why mix it up?
I don't mind doing that, but I think we ought to... Right now, I don't want to wait on the geothermal modulators. I think we ought to take that out now and replace that later with the other funds and do the at least the ADA playground, the ADA compliance on the playground set at the elementary campuses. At least that, that would be 40, that's about 80, so it's 90,000 and about 200.
We are able to
$200,000.
We have the money in the bank, and the 2011 bond program allows it under the wording. So, I mean, we could address those issues when they arise and when we've done the due diligence of those projects.
I'm just saying, just so we can spend those funds, it's either it's going to get washed out anyways, yeah. Is what I'm saying.
It is. It's a total.
Let's not mix it up and just designate the $2.6 million to what we told the voters, because we've used the other money for the early bird projects, and that needs to get replenished too. So would the, would it be better for us to, I guess, looking at our financial advisor and our CFO, would it be better for us to replenish the early bird projects and then designate the $5 million?
The money right now in the accounting, we've got it set all, a lump sum is sitting in one account. As you designate how you want to place it, then we'll distribute into separate project accounts.
Good.
Right now it's all in one. So if you say, let's keep it together,
Do you get what I'm saying? We would replenish the $2.3 million that we've used on the early projects, and then we would designate the $5 million from the 2006 funds straight to the, we would designate it to the pre-K-8 under the 2011 program. So then it's all in one, and we've already, we could close out the 2006 bond project.
If I follow what you're saying, that the thing is that some of the expenses were done prior to us actually receiving the funds for the 2011, and so we don't have pre-award costs, to my knowledge, on bond money, so we couldn't reclassify what we've already paid out of.
We wouldn't need to, but, I mean, out of the motion.
But technically, yeah, the money, technically, you know, it's just the...
Yes, so technically the motion would just be to replenish and then designate the $5 million, and that would be... The accounting is already done because it's in one thing. It would just be replenished to the 2000. So that would be my motion, would be to replenish the $2.389 million that was used for the early bird projects from the 2011 bond funds to the 2006, and then designate the $5 million that we told the voters to the pre-K-8. Under the 2011 bond program. That would be my motion.
And do we have the exact $5 million?
Yeah.
Well, or is that?
Like I said, the breakdown that I have is here.
It's 2.6.
The bird is 2.3, and then 2.6, that's 4.9.
4.9? So it's not quite the 5 million?
Not quite.
Okay.
Assuming that we may have additional savings from the 544,000, once those are completed, that would probably make the complete 5 million.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. The motion is to replenish the 2.3 plus or minus expenditures from the early bird projects into 2011 bond funds and...
No, back into the 2006.
Yes, back into the 2006 and... Also, the remaining 2.65 plus or minus remaining 2006 bond funds, and then transfer those to. But it's not 5 million, though. Your motion says 5 million.
Five plus or minus, give and take.
Right.
The remaining funds.
Okay.
And so then I would amend my motion on that. I guess the question I have is then we would just have the 544K to close out the complete 2006 bond.
And then the 3 million that's set aside for bonding, it's just sitting there on the side. But yes, that's remaining because we haven't used it to pay bond.
Then we would have
to use it next year. In 2012, we'll start using that.
But then we would have to have another motion if those even $10,000, right, remaining.
Well,
Under the savings.
No, you're going to allow the administration to use any remaining funds that are not otherwise designated from 2006 for 2011 project you want. If you want to specify the pre-K for that's fine.
So then, do I have to put the 5 million or can we just leave it?
Remaining funds.
The remaining funds. Yeah. Okay.
They're not otherwise designated because we have the bond rate.
Right.
The remaining funds.
That are not otherwise designated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
And I'll leave in a second.
All right.
I have one question.
Lori.
Ms. Urbina, is there any benefit to doing this one way or the other financially?
Honestly, I believe that. I think moving forward with completing projects is probably the best way to go. It's kind of a hard question to answer, and I'll tell you why. Because I understand that politically, you know, you've told the voters
yes.
X, and so you have the option that if you want it, you could say no. We can defease the bonds, and that would probably save you some savings. I would recommend that you do that versus just leaving it in the account. Now, with that said, the second option, you have that additional money that you could reclassify or you could redirect to other projects that when you did pass the 2006 bond election, they're similar in scope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a benefit because schools, especially in this day and age, you don't have all the luxury of all that money. So you have money that's already sitting there. You have projects that you probably can use it on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think recommendation would probably be just use it if you have those projects. But again, politically, I think the board is the one that ultimately makes that decision. So
would we see any financial difference, any benefit financially to ourselves, you know, dollars and cents, in doing it one way versus the other?
No, I think that, let me say, if you defease the bonds, yes, you would save an interest.
But you can't defease the bonds. They're not called until 2016.
Okay.
And you're not going to be able to buy them in the market. Nobody's going to turn in their bonds.
Thank you.
In this market. That's bought it in another market.
Okay, right. Thank you.
So
that is,
practical
okay.
Right, and the benefit you get of the other scenario is you get the assets. You know, so you actually have the money, you spend it, and you actually get the playground or whatever it is.
I understand. Okay.
In essence, we're paying more on interest than we are actually.
Yeah.
So our payments are, you know, if we use it for projects, then the funds are expended, and then that's...
Right. Leaving it in the bank is probably the worst.
It's the worst thing we can do. Okay. And with that said, you want to keep your motion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have a few more slides on our presentation.
Well, we have a motion on the floor.
All right. Since this the agenda item is on the agenda item E, then I believe this is the motion for that. So, agenda item 4E, we have a motion before the board to replenish the bond expenditures from the 2011 early bond projects from the 2006 bond funds that were expended and pay those back from the 2011 bond funds. And then to transfer any remaining undesignated funds that are left over from the 2006 bond to the PK through 8 project. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Okay. Any further discussion or comments from the board? The items that we're looking at in terms of those the $200,000 amounts under slide number 9, do we have those funds available now to pay it out of the 2011?
You could amend your motion and add that. They would be, these projects would be added into
to the 2011
out of savings.
Out of savings. Because otherwise, if we don't do that, we can't go forward on where we're going to get the money on it, right? We don't have any money for that right now.
Right. Well, it would definitely deplete the available funding that's in the
right.
facilities.
So I guess we can go ahead and take care of this and then maybe designate 2011 bond funds to cover some of these items in another motion. So, all right.
Mike Bennington, I'm sorry. Could you restate your motion? Just
the motion is we're going to replenish the early bird projects at 2.389 that we used under the 2006 bond. We're going to replenish that with the 2011, which were designated under the 2011 bond program. We're going to replenish that. Then the remaining funds that are available from the 2006, we're going to designate to the pre-K-8, which is what we told the voters.
All right. Any further discussion? All right, Tony, pull the board.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, now we're left with the situation of some of those projects we really need to have funding for. And so under the 2011 bond proceeds, are those within the scope, Council?
Yes.
All right. So I think at this time we need to take up which one of those items from Northwest Early to Chainlink we want to designate out of the 2006 bond, 2011 bond funds to cover. I still don't think we should do the Northwest Early College High School.
It was already.
That's already in the M&O. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Dorian.
I think just real quick, Council, can we? Since it's under the wording of the 2011 bond program, can we just address those when they come up as needed when we make those expenditures?
Yes, if you want to wait. There's nothing that.
Because we'll have one later on today, and if that gets approved, then it would just automatically come out of that bond program.
It's within the scope of the bond program, then yes.
So we wouldn't need. Is that. I'm okay with that. I'd rather do that.
I would like to say one thing, though. Because of the wording of our agenda, if the board has a desire to take up this group of items as they're listed, it's probably better that you do that today, because other than maybe a single item that's listed later on the agenda, you're not going to be able to address some of the other items.
Right.
Yeah. Not today. You have to repost them.
And then administration couldn't go forward on planning for those until we designate the funds, right?
We'd be waiting in a month.
Right.
Mr. Chair, with that said, I would like to move that numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, which would be the geothermal pump, the ADA playground equipment, the landscaping concrete upgrades, the replacement of the boiler pumps, the ADA compliant playground set, the irrigation system, and the chain link fence, all be approved with the 2011 bond funds.
And that's the $342,283.
Uh-huh.
Under savings of the projects?
Yes. Well,
I don't care.
From the proceeds, from the period.
Yeah, just out of, it doesn't matter where they come from. Everything with the exclusion of the Northwest cafeteria.
All right, there's a motion before the board. Do I hear a second?
And
there's a motion and a second to provide funding for projects 2 through 8 on slide 9 as presented by administration and the proposed projects for remaining 2006 bond funds, but these funds now will be payable from the 2011 bond proceeds. And we have, guys, approximately close to $1 million if we from what the presentation today was in the wastewater for Gunnethew Middle School. 500 of that we pulled out for the Northwest Early College High School that we added for the cafeteria. So we have approximately 400 some odd thousand projected savings on that. Aside from the other probably couple hundred thousand already we had in savings. So we have about 600,000. This would take up about only half of those savings, roughly, right now. And these are items that probably need addressed fairly soon. So I think this is something that I think the community would want us to do and address these concerns. Not only that, as well as the federal government. So any questions, comments from the board? Not Tony.
Mrs. Casas?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Just one quick, I would like to get a list from the administration on the other priority list that was presented in the 2011 bond program. Not the part two, but the part that wasn't under the bond program.
Yeah, what was excluded?
Yeah.
What items were not included in the bond?
Way back before the election.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
The items that we called out that we didn't add.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Can you help us
so that we can start looking at when the savings come up, designate them to those items that if they're pressing items that we should probably do.
Huh? No. Friday.
Fast.
President, in the savings of the $1 million approximate for the sewer treatment facility that we're going to work on, we are a part of that savings, a small part, but a part of it will have to tear down and get rid of our current plant.
Yes. I understand.
So it isn't a pure $1 million in savings.
I understand, and but we still, we even right now, we've probably designated maybe half or a little over half of those remaining savings. Even with that, probably right. There's probably still some money in there to accomplish that, and we might be able to realize some funds from selling that thing out
recycled,
there, even for whatever.
And I just want to say on behalf of the administration that these motions that have been passed are absolutely doable and totally fine. And I want to thank Mr. Rodriguez for training my mind toward what the voter had said about the pre-K-8. And if you saw me step away earlier, I apologize. What I told Ernesto was, I'm just realizing right now that it's supposed to go to pre-K-8.
And then I came back
and then he said the same thing. So I appreciate the direction, and we can absolutely do this.
All right. I guess that's it. Next item to take up.
The rest of the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On C and D.
This next section is we're going to review some of the investment opportunities that are out there. There isn't, if the interest rate is very weak, but definitely we can certainly do a little bit better than what we're doing right now. What I wanted to share on the slide that's number 14 is our current investments of the 2006 and 2011 bond money. The 2006 bond program, there's approximately $4 million that is in a short-term investment under Texas Term Investment Pool. And what I've noted is we invested in three parts, $2 million, and then another $1 million. And basically, they have different interest rates because their maturity date is it varies. As you can see, the investment earnings, it's not a lot, but this gives us a little bit more than a regular daily investment. And then under the 2011 bond program funds, the $22 million, right now they are sitting in the Logic investment pool, and that rate right now is at 0.16. As of September 30th, we've generated $3,000 in interest, and that's in about a month and a couple of days. On this slide, we are showing you some of the investment venues or opportunities we've researched, both Maria and I. Obviously, we've got the investment pools that are basically short-term investments or dailies. We've got, I mentioned Texas Term Options, and they have different options that they have within their pool. We've got certificates of deposits and securities. I don't know if Maria wants to elaborate a little bit on some of this.
Good evening again, President Coronado, board members, Dr. Murphy. My name is Maria Urbina with First Southwest Company. And as Martha was saying, for the past few weeks or so, we've been working on trying to look at different investment opportunities for your 2011 bond funds. What has happened is, as you may recall, last time we met, we were trying to figure out, number one, how much money we were actually going to invest and the term, the length of time, because those two functions are very important for us when we go out there to try to look for securities. Well, given this market environment, as you can tell, we're just not earning very much. We have also talked to different experts. We have short-term investment experts in Austin, and we try to look at flex repos. Once again, for Mr. Rodriguez, I know he had mentioned about that a while back. And again, they are not something that we can be looking at for Canotillo at this time. With that said, we have tried to come up with a strategy of putting together for the district additional avenues to tap into securities. What I'm basically trying to say is that in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to provide Martha with a list of broker dealers. It'll be anywhere from 3 to 5 for you to choose, because we believe that there's an opportunity that Martha can explore with them. If she basically has a list of broker dealers, she can send out an email to them and say, okay, you know what, I'm needing to invest you $11 million, and I need you to tell me what securities are out there. We're going to give them your investment policy, and they're going to look at it, and they're going to bid, and they're basically going to provide to her whether it's municipal bonds, whether it's certificates of deposit, any type of investment. They're going to give her a list of those, and that way she can make a good decision about where to deposit that money. We feel that that's probably the most effective way for the district to move in terms of looking for the best investment opportunities. A second idea that we're also going to be working with Martha on is looking at three different banks that could probably give you, just also a bid in terms of what they give you in CDs. We're looking maybe at some local banks like Bank of the West, Wells Fargo, or some of the other ones. But, that's something that Martha and I can come back and talk to you about, but we'll provide you with a list, because we do want you to have the best rate of return on your money, but it's just taking a little bit of time. It's a little harder these days to go and get a little yield, as you all know. But anyway, that's the status of where we are, and I'm sure we'll be coming back to tell you about that.
And policy CDA, which is our investment policy, the legal does state that we will provide to you a list of brokers, and then the board will approve
the listing before we move forward. So for the November board meeting, we are going to be presenting the list of brokers so that we can go ahead and have several to pick from. We are considering a long-term investments of $11 million, of the $22 million that we currently have for the 2011. $11 million will be in long-term, meaning up to a year in some kind of investment. And then we will have the other 11 in short-term, maybe 3 months, 6 months. Just depends on the cash flow needs of the projects as they start coming up. And so that's how we will be considering the different pots of money and how we invest those.
Ms. Searles?
Mr. Bina, I have a question. Is what you're suggesting, is this called a guaranteed investment contract, a GIC?
No, what we're suggesting is that you have, that you formalize just a list of brokers out there, that you have input from them, because some of them have different bonds in their portfolio or securities. And so all it is asking them, they're not going to know that they're submitting their bid at the same time. So it's not like they are working together. She's going to get the list of securities and then basically say, okay, these are the ones that yield the most. They meet our investment act and in our policy, I'm sorry, investment policy, and then she's going to come forward and say, board, you know, these are the securities where we want to invest. But no, it's not really a guaranteed interest contract. Those ones, basically, you have one broker-dealer that says, look, I've got a pool of 10 securities, and I'll buy them for this under this contract. And then they basically just take your money, and, you know, they give you X on a periodic basis, X amount of money on a periodic mm-hmm. basis. So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
This is just for her to have a pool because
okay.
she can work a little more.
I understand.
People.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. Anybody else?
This next slide just kind of gives you a picture of right now we've got funds in the six different pools that we are investing. Some are the state sends in the money through it, others the Bouchards, and just different deposits that come through our investment pools. As of last night, this is what our current interest rates are. So as you can see, it's and these are on daily, okay? These are just the daily. We have our money in these pools because of the liquidity, sometimes we need to go ahead and transfer funds out immediately. And so this allows us to do that. So these are smaller funds that you will see under your page 5 of the board financial. That'll tell you how much is in from the different funds that we have.
Any other questions?
I guess the, let me think of that. On the, I guess the recommendation then on both the investment pools or the term options that we're going to be looking at, do we need to make a direct you all or make a motion?
In November,
and then you're just going to bring back and then you're going to go out for sort of proposals and see who's okay. So we don't need no action, right? And I guess looking at some of this and depending how it fluctuates, I guess just stay cognizant.
I would like to see if maybe the because right now we have 22 under logic. I would like to kind of disperse it through the different pools that we currently have and see if we can generate a little more revenue mm-hmm. here and there. Between now and the time when we visit Nate, you know, what's going to be long term and more detail as to what brokers we're going to be.
And I recall, like, I guess one of the audit findings a while back was the one of the people that we didn't have that letter, and we did clarify that.
Actually, that was Wells Fargo. They didn't collateralize our funds.
No, it wasn't the. It was a list that was.
Yes.
Like a contract that's required, and it wasn't on hand because we had been with one of these pools for
like 1997 or something mm-hmm. like that.
Okay, and I guess maybe we could look at if there is any other pools out there that might have a higher yield as well. So
sure.
with our financial advisors and y'all, look at that and then present to us what
if there's
to get a better yield for the district.
I have Lord. Another question. And Mr. Bina, did I hear you say correctly our Series 2006B bond? bonds we are going to owe the $5,383 on coming up soon?
Approximately, but yes, it's very close.
Okay.
The next calculation for that rebate happens here like on 11/15.
So we just need to be prepared
so
to
people, yeah,
get that paid.
Right, the payment will actually occur like in 2/15 of 2012. So yeah,
okay.
Be prepared to make that payment.
We usually make our bond payments in February and August.
Okay.
That's the normal time frame. So we definitely start looking now for them and move forward.
Oh, but that's for the rebate.
Right.
This is the
yes. Yeah.
Can't we offset that from our negative arbitrage on the other bond?
No. Sorry. It's on an issue by issue basis.
That's a Michelle game, I think.
You know, I was thinking about that. You know, it would be nice. But no.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you, Mr. Bina, Quirky, Steve, Ms. Aguirre. Bye. All right. With the board's consent, administration has requested that we pull item 8C, 10A, 10C, 10D, and 10F that would be placed on our agenda for next week's board meeting. Items 8C, 10A, 10C, 10D, and 10F. These are items that don't have any urgency for today or for this week that we can take up next week on the 25th.
I repeat those to you. It was
8C,
8C, 10A,
10A,
10C, and 10F?
10D and 10F.
10D. Okay.
Oh, 10D?
Yes.
10F.
And it seems that we have a really long agenda tonight.
Yeah, really long.
These are items that don't
like
need
we
any
could
urgency
quit right
we
now.
Could do next we can do next week. We really have a long agenda item tonight, and those are items we can take up certainly at next special board meeting. Is the board okay with
take off I two?
Excuse me?
I.
Which
four
I?
4I.
4I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? What else, Mr. Rodriguez? That's good.
Why not?
How about H too? How about 4H?
Yeah, that's fine. 4I and H.
4I
too.
So miss everything.
This one's gonna be
we'll pull the consent agenda. Start.
All right.
Yeah.
Is the board okay with those? Are we in consensus then? Agenda items 8C, 10A, 10C, 10D, 10F, 4I, and H?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay? The board? All right. I think the board is unanimous on this. We will. These items will be pulled from the agenda for placement on the agenda for next week's special board meeting. So if you'll mark your agendas for those items as pulled. And that takes us now to the next agenda item. Tony.
Item F, consider selection of individuals to serve on 2011 Bond Accountability Committee. Senator Murphy and Mr. Rebellis.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve all the applicants that apply for the CBAC committee and go with the discussion we had on having them select their leader and vote from there on as soon as possible.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Agenda item 4F, to designate or appoint the individuals that were presented to the board and on the attached documentation, to appoint all of them to the 2011 Bond Accountability Committee. And any further discussion items? All right, Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. González?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
All right, takes us to next agenda item.
Item G, discussion and possible action regarding Northwest Early College High School student participation in UIL sports. Dr. Murphy and Sabina?
just on the previous president and board members, the first CBAC meeting will be 6 p.m. November 30th, right here in the boardroom. And all CBAC members will be contacted by the end of the week, and we will have a press release as well as a Facebook posting with everything.
What was the date, Dr. Murphy?
November 30th, 6 p.m.
Okay.
And first, just real quick on that, Mr. Chair. If anybody plans on attending that, if we could just call the soup so that way it's not 1 and 3. Because I might, but I don't know. I'll call if there's 1 and 3.
What we could do is we could post it ourselves. We could post it. Other school districts do this. They post a potential arrival of board members to the CBAC meeting.
All right.
And that way,
we can just show up.
Show up in this forum and still legal.
All right. Forum. All right.
President, board members, members of the audience, Ms. Savina and I are here basically to just let you know where we stand. There's no documentation for this item, and as I have been informing you in Eagle Notes and Friday Packet, we have been doing the research that has been asked. Here it is. Legally, the student in question at Northwest can fully participate in KCU High School UIL events, as can any student at Northwest Early College. We talked to the number two at UIL, and we have cleared it completely. We don't even have to write a letter. They are allowed to do it, and the only thing that we would have to do is that if another school requests a clarification, we would have to provide notification. But the UIL has cleared the path. Secondly, I was asked to find precedent across the state. We did find an example, and I did share in Eagle Notes, of a school in Dallas that is an early college that does allow their students to go back to home campuses and compete in UIL. The Trini Lopez Early College at Mountain View College in South Dallas. I did speak to Chris Coxon of the Texas High School Project, and he said there's also some other examples, one in the Valley at Hidalgo High School, where they have an entire high school that is early college that has athletics. And then the new one here in town at Cotton Valley at Favens, where they let their students and will let their students go back to participate at Favens, Tornillo, and Fort Hancock. So we even have an example here in town. The third thing that I needed to research was the reaction of EPCC. And I met in my office for about an hour with Dennis Brown, Vice President of EPCC, and he said the following. He would rather us not allow students to participate in UIL activities at their home high school. He felt that it was a distraction, and actually echoed a lot of the sentiment that Ms. Savina has given the board here at this table as she has been up here. However, EPCC said, you know, if the board decides, then they will support Canyutio in the decision to allow this student and others like her to do this. They did ask that we either do one of two things, that if we do allow it, that either it is a case-by-case that comes in front of the board for approval, or that we at least create strict, stringent policy that would govern it. And that was Dr. Brown's request. He did, again, register his reluctance and his desire for us not to do it, but he did support us if we wanted to go forward. Then the very last thing was, that's it. Those are the things that you asked me to research, and basically, we cleared every hurdle. The student in question and similar students like her can participate at Canyutio High School if it be the desire and will of the board. The other item was Mr. Joyner coming up and giving us a very sound policy draft that said that the thought would be that a student would only be allowed to do this if they had finished their early college experience at EPCC, they're 60 hours, graduated, in good standing, 3.0, and all of those things. And that could be where we would go with the policy and the case-by-case with the board. That, so I've done the research, and that's what I found. And I'll let Ms. Savina speak, understanding all that, regarding her feelings at this point.
Good evening, Board President, Board members. My position is really the same as I articulated before. I continue not to support athletics at the early college, and my reasons are the same as what I shared with you before. I feel that we're trying to create a culture where academics comes first, and it's a young school that is developing its identity. And so for us, you know, even last week when we had the orange, you're glad to be an Eagle. Well, yes, we are glad that you are Eagles, but we are Griffins. And so we're glad for that, and we're certainly a part of the district, but we are our own school. And as you took, you know, the trouble of creating an early college apart from Ganutillo High School, I ask you to remember that and to consider that. Like I said, you know, for me, developing the school culture, developing the school pride is important, and is something that I want to continue to do at the early college. Also, you know, the focus for us continues to be on our academics, and I want to make sure, as I told you before, that the students are focused on the task at hand, and that they are not deterred, that they are not having to choose over, you know, athletics, early morning practices, you know, any number of things that could take them away from their studies. And so that's a philosophical stance, but I want to make sure that we give our students the ultimate advantage, you know, and so continue to encourage them to make sure that they are fully focused on the task at hand, and of course those are their academics. And finally, you know, I just wanted to remind you that these students may have some extra time on their hands. And so for us, like I said before, in developing our school and developing our school culture, one of the things that I would like for them to do in order to develop their leadership skills is to give back the time to the school. So we have fledgling student organizations, very young student organizations, you know, maybe about five really, and none really at the national level. We don't have National Honor Society. We're just beginning to submit our application and our paperwork. And we certainly need students like the one that we are talking about, like Sarah, you know, and other students that can come forward and assist so that we can have all of those different opportunities for our students. I did just want to make one last remark, you know, in terms of setting the precedent. The school that you heard about, Cotton Valley Early College, is an unacceptable school right now. They do allow their students to go back to their home campuses to participate, but I just wanted to make sure that you knew that. And also, President, Mountain View College is a college, not a university. And we are asking our students, after they finish their degree at EPCC in 3 years, to pursue university studies. And we've seen that the students are successful. The Associate Provost at UTEP, Donna Echol, has shared the information and shared the information with you if you were able to attend the dinner that we had to honor our graduates. And she said that the students are doing very well. So I just want to make sure that we continue to leave the focus in terms of the academics so that the students can continue to do well.
Ms. Caceres.
I'd like to make a motion to support Ms. Savina and support the administration and leave the policy as is.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. On agenda item G. Any comments or discussion from the board? Mr. Rodriguez.
What I would want to do, I think one of the things, you know, that, I mean, we're our own community, so when we create policy, it depends what the board decides here, and we could go from here, and once the board decides. But one of my things is, I think that I wouldn't want to go by a case by case. I would want to create a stringent policy, and I think that's a better way to do it. I think when you get these kids, you know, they're already excelling, and if you're able to add more to for them to excel in different areas but still hold them accountable, I think it's great. The more you give some of these students, and the more they're able to excel even better. You don't, you know, the sky's the limit, and you don't want to put no limit on any student. And that's one of the things, that's why I would feel that it would be better for us to create a strict policy And what we can look at is looking at the having a certain GPA. You wouldn't be able to do it till your senior year and or till your till you've completed all your college coursework at the early college high school, and the GPA, but also if you're under, let's say, a 3.5 GPA, your GPA has to stay consistent throughout your time within that program. And it allows the kids to realize that if they want that extra, they're going to have to even work harder. And we shouldn't, you know, put a damp on our kids or put a limit on. And so I would disagree with the motion, but we'll see how it goes.
All right. Any other comments? One of the main things that I feel is that a lot of our kids, and I talked to a lot of them that are attending our high school, not the early college high school, is questions of us is, why aren't you in that program? The first thing they say is, I don't want to give up the opportunity to play extracurricular activities. And so I think by doing this, we might be able to attract more people. I think we might get a greater participation at the early college high school. Were we able to allow that? I mean, I think, I think I agree with Ms. Savina that school needs to develop some of these organizations, but at the same time, we shouldn't exclude some of these other organizations as long as they've completed the coursework and gotten their associate's degree and are attending college. You know, I don't know what more we're going to ask of them and not reward them and then be able to recruit more of them that say that they don't have to give it up completely if they complete their associate's degree, they get their 3.0. What a better incentive and a better recruitment tool for some of these kids that we want to do that, to do both. So I agree with Mr. Rodriguez. I think we ought to put a stringent policy, make sure that those kids that want to participate know what they have ahead of them to be able to do that, and I think that's the way we ought to go. So that's my comment. Anybody else? Not? Tony, pull the board.
Mrs. Costas?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
No.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
No.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Next agenda item.
Item H and I have been withdrawn. Item J is consider appointment of individual to El Paso Central Appraisal District Board of Directors.
All right. We have, and actually not necessarily an appointment, because this goes actually... an appointment from several of the governments in the Upper Valley, to include Anthony, Vinton, ourselves, and who else? Is that it?
Village of Vinton,
Anthony, and us.
That's it.
Right. So it's not really to appoint them, but to nominate this individual to the Central Appraisal District. So between the three of our entities, we can designate one person. And, of course, whoever person we designate still would have to go out and get the approval from the other governments, the other entities. So, Ms. Searles.
When and where and what time are the meetings?
The third Thursday of the month, and it's on the steering the day.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I leave it open to the board to nominate somebody or to, if somebody wants to volunteer.
Ms. Gonzalez.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's four entities. It's Anthony Independent School District, City of Anthony, Canopy Anthony Independent School District.
That's right, it's four of them. That's what we're missing, is Anthony,
yes.
City of Anthony.
City of Anthony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Town of Anthony, right?
Yeah.
Town of
Anthony.
Mr.
Town. It's really town.
Volunteer.
Okay.
I'll support Ms. Searles.
All right.
Well, thank you. If it's in the daytime, I'll volunteer.
There might be some other opportunities, so I'll let you be at work.
This is a very important, very, very important
yes.
position and a very important work that the Central Appraisal District does. And so, Ms. Searles, you were...
I'd love to.
I make a motion to nominate Ms. Searles as the Central Appraisal District, the El Paso Central Appraisal District representative for our district.
I'll second the motion.
All right. We have a motion and a second on agenda item 4J to nominate Lori Searles as our pick amongst the four government entities to the El Paso Central Appraisal District. Contingent on her receiving approval from the other entities, I would suppose. And that way she would continue then and get their nomination.
And we'll have to arrange communication with the other entities. You might have to go up and visit them.
Right.
Yeah, you would have to put an item on their agenda.
Right.
So on the next, the administration could do that. The Anthony Independent School District, the town of Vinton, and the city of Anthony.
Gustavo, that's you.
And possibly with the letter that our district has made the recommendation unanimously to bring forward to them.
To get a true representative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that I will be dutiful and responsible.
Yes.
You do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic job.
Do my homework.
All right.
Can I go to your inauguration?
Yes, you may.
All right. Any further discussion, comments? Tony, pull the board.
Mrs. Cassis?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Coronado.
Mrs. Rosales? I'm sorry, yes. Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
I'll abstain.
All right. Motion passes. Congratulations, Ms. Searles. I know you'll do a great job in representing all of our governments in the Upper Valley. All right. Next agenda item is open forum. Has anybody signed up to speak?
Yes, sir. We have an individual, Ms. Lilia Maldonado.
All right. Ms. Maldonado, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Murphy, board members. I have two questions, I guess you could say. On the list that Ms. Aguirre and Mr. Almendares showed for the projects under the 2006 projects that are under 2011 bond, but that are they were proposing to take care of the 2006 funding. Was evaporation to cooling to refrigeration at CHS? Is that an error or is that correct?
CMS.
Oh, was it CMS?
I'm sorry, was
that
a typo?
Yes.
Okay. CMS, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now the other thing is, are you shortchanging in any way the pre-K-8 school from being completed in any way by taking those funds from 26 bond and using them to complete the projects? Is it going to shortchange the building or the completion of the pre-K-8 school? From what I understand, no, it's not. So, in reference to or in answer to Mr. Rodriguez's concern, I can understand it, and I am only one voter. However, the voters, the ultimate picture and what they're looking at is that school is completed. Where the money came from, if you took it from each one of your pockets, doesn't matter as long as it's completed. And I agree with Ms., I believe her name was Urbina, when she said that the benefit is to have the projects completed versus having the money sit there. So I really have an issue with the debate that was going on because it could have very easily been solved. If you're not shortchanging the 2011 promises that you made, you know, there's really not a problem because these projects that were listed here, yes, they were sold to the bought to the voters as projects under 2011. And the majority of these projects are long overdue, people, long overdue. So my concern now is that I understand that you said no, you know, let's allocate the 2006 funds to the 2011 for the completion of the pre-K. I understand what you just did. My question now is, because the projects are going to be now coming out of the 2011 bond, how long before those projects get fixed? That's the major concern. You know, the need is here right now for those projects. And if you're not shortchanging in any way what you promised the voters for 2011, I don't think that they're going to really care if you put up the $5 million from your own pocket, as long as that school is completed. The major concern is that those projects are needed now. It's like if I plan on building a house for 5 kids, but I procrastinate and procrastinate for whatever reason, and then finally down the road, 7 years from now, I build it, and lo and behold, there's only me and my husband left. That makes sense, you know? So, since you've already decided on this, I only recommend, and I will push you all, that you get these projects done, completed, because that's when the community and the voters are going to be in an uproar. If these projects, if you sit on them and you procrastinate on them, and down 3 years from now, they're still not completed. I thank the administration, Dr. Murphy, Mr. Armendariz, Ms. Aguirre, because I can understand what their purpose was. They see the need now and said, why not, if we have the money, why not take care of these now with the 2006 funding, but we're still going to take care of everything that was promised to the voters with the 2011 funding. It's just a matter of trading and switching and whatever, you know. But bottom line is, the voters are going to be happy when you do what you say, which is complete the pre-K school and complete all those projects. Because many of these projects are long overdue, even since 2006. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Martineau. All right. Anybody else?
No, sir.
All right. That concludes agenda item 5. We are now to the executive session. And I guess we will take, with the board's consent, we might as well take this up. Are there any other items, I think, that we need to?
Is there anybody else here other than the individuals that we need to go into closed session for?
I believe that's
administration. Is it. There anybody else?
We should be able to go much quicker coming
yeah.
out of.
Coming out of the executive session. So,
deal with the consent agenda now?
We can, if the board would like, we can deal with the consent agenda item at this time. Item 9, do y'all want to take that up before we, so we can do that? That should be fairly simple. We've pulled some of the other items already, so. All right, with the board's consent hearing.
I think there might be somebody here for consent, so might as well.
Yeah, so let's take up with the board's consent. Any dissent? All right, Tony, agenda item 9.
Item 9, consent agenda to consider approval of board meeting minutes of September 13th, 2011 regular board meeting. Attendance, financials, and warrant list for September 1st through the 30th, 2011 in the amount of $1,230,583.84. Budget amendments. Acceptance of donations. Revisions to EIC local academic achievement class rankings, second reading. Revisions to CDA local other investments, second reading. Submission of class size waiver. Purchase of chocolates for fundraiser for County 2 Elementary School. Purchase of uniforms for facilities and transportation departments. Purchase of musical instruments for Albedetta Middle School and County 2 Middle School. Approval of purchase of truck for facilities and maintenance division, and purchase of calculators for County 2 High School.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to approve the consent agenda as read.
All right. Before I get a second on that, would anybody like to have any item pulled for separate discussion?
Yes.
No? Hearing none, then I'll
I'll second that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Gonzalez?
Did we pull the agenda item 99?
No.
No?
No, it had not been pulled previously, no.
On the,
we pulled 4I.
We pulled 4I.
Under the consent agenda, just a quick question. 9K, were we able to look at a 2011 so all the trucks are the same?
Well, the 2011s are no longer available. They're already going into the new year, so it'll be a 2012.
And locally, there was nothing?
None on the purchasing cooperatives that we purchased it.
We looked into that. There is not a single dealer in El Paso County that is on one of these co-ops, not one.
Okay.
I know that I had recommended you call Cisparo. Were they?
I called Rudolph because I have a personal connection there, and they were not interested in joining the co-op. Yeah.
Mr. Gatlin was Cisparo.
They weren't contacted because they're not part of the person co-op.
Didn't call Cisparo, called Rudolph.
Because they were very willing to join.
Well, they can join, but I mean, it wouldn't help us on this purchase, but I could sure call them and ask them to join. We need somebody in this.
Well,
that'd be great to have somebody local.
Yes, I spoke to them, and they were very willing to join to do anything that needed to be done to fulfill the void, I guess.
Ms. Searles, you'll remember, you and I talked. You said you'd call Cisparo.
I did.
I'd call Rudolph, and I called Rudolph, and they said no.
Cisparo said yes, we'll speed ahead, and
I need information back.
I believe I contacted and gave either you or Mr. Gatlin a number for a Mr. Carpenter.
No, ma'am.
And he was waiting, yes. I don't have the number. His name is Mr. Carpenter. It's 575-524-7707 is the dealership number.
Okay. I think we're going beyond.
Okay.
Do you want item, agenda item?
I want
pulled.
I could pull it,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes? 9I and 9K?
Yes, sir.
All right. Those two items will be pulled. Anybody else? All right. Hearing none, then I'll entertain a motion on agenda item 9 for items A through L, with the exception of I and K. Ms. Searles, will you so amend your motion?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, and yes. I have a second. Second. Oh, you had seconded? Thank you, Ms. Quintana. Tony, poll the board.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, and we're now on agenda item 9I. Mrs. Gonzalez.
I had called Dr. Murphy during the day, and one of the last questions, and I wasn't able to retrieve your last message. That was very busy, but are any of surrounding districts doing this for their staff?
Through the chair. Ms. Gonzalez, I called and I left your voicemail. I called El Paso ISD, and then I was hooked into Socorro ISD. Socorro does have uniforms for their transportation workers. EPISD does not. However, I spoke to Oscar, the transportation director at EPISD, and they said they would love to have them. They were very much in favor, but it wasn't in their budget this year. The other question that you have, so Socorro does have them. The other question that you had was where the money was going to come from, and Martha can address this better than I can, but basically, due to our route alignment this year, we are garnering more money from the state, approximately $150,000 more money.
Yes.
And that is where I'm making.
Sorry. In the last couple of years, Mr. Miranda has done a more thorough job as far as reporting the routes and the reporting that he submits to the state. As far as what special ed services and routes we provide, as well as CTNE and regular routes, has generated considerable $150,000 more in funds for the transportation allotment. And this was the first year that we saw the actual funds come in to help the department, you know, offset the costs that they, in the past, the local operating budget had to take care of. Now, with the reporting that he's doing, he's helping their own department. That much.
Okay, and this is just a one-time one-time expense or like a yearly expense?
Good evening, Board President Coronado, Dr. Murphy, board members. In the past, in 2007, when we started, we used to rent our uniforms. In 8 months, we incurred about $11,000 in rental fees for just the maintenance employees. We decided to go from the recommendation of San Elizario, which is almost the same size, not anymore, but to go with Bazaar and the uniform maker, and we decided to purchase, at that time, I think it was 6 pants and 6 shirts, and then we purchased a jacket. And it was cheaper, it went up to like $3,700 for the year. And we had promised the employees that we would get them every year, but unfortunately, time went on, we didn't have the funds. So we're all currently using the uniforms that we purchased back in that time. And some of my grounds employees, I have bought that out and purchased their own shirts because we haven't purchased them the uniforms. But it is a cheaper route. As you can see, I'm wearing a shirt that's 2 years old, but I don't work outside as much as they do. So we need to change them out or make a decision whether we use them or not.
Actually, there, Mrs. Gonzalez, there is a savings. That's the reason why we went to purchasing them. We were able to save, as Pablo was saying, about $3,000, or actually a lot more than that, by not going through the rental process. And by getting them six shirts, they're able to have a change of shirts, as opposed to the problems that we were having with the rental. Sometimes they would bring back the shirts, and you would wonder whether they were laundered or not. And we always ran through that problem with them. And, you know, we'd always, they'd come back and they'd be stained. And we would, in fact, we changed vendors at the time that I came in. We did a change and we changed to a different vendor. And we started experiencing the same problem. What they were doing is they were actually giving us used shirts at the beginning. And so they were even, some of them were even coming back kind of torn from the elbows and from other areas of the shirts. That when Pablo went ahead and evaluated the purchasing of it, the staff preferred that because they said, hey, we'll do a better job about cleaning our shirts. And they all want to wear a clean shirt. And then to top it off, we realized the savings. Now, the question is, this is a one-time deal. I think we had figured that it would be a yearly or every 2 years, depending on the use. Granted, the grounds people probably would be yearly because they're the ones that use it the most. And then we have other staff that don't use it like as much as the grounds people do. So it would be on and off. It would not be all of them at the same time, but it would be based on the use of the shirts. But even if we did that, remember that we were spending money every year for the rent. So we're still realizing the savings.
Ms. Cáceres.
When the uniforms are issued and as employees come and go, are they supposed to turn those uniforms back in, or they're theirs to keep?
I wouldn't even want them. They're gone. They're gone. I mean, you could see right through. Not on Pablo's, because like he said, he doesn't work out of sight. But you could actually put them up like that, and you could see right through them. And that's the truth. I mean, they're in such bad shape.
Can I have just a point of clarification? Did you say Pablo work out as much as
you? Either, as you can tell, either or both. No, but in the case of returning the uniforms, there's no reason to return them because we're not going to be able to reuse them with anybody else because it's their size. So
okay.
That's the reason they keep them. And usually we don't have that high turnover anyways.
Okay. I was just, thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They engrave their names on them. So.
And they're going to do their own upkeep and all that. So.
Yes, they do. Okay. And they do a pretty good job. They do a very good job. It's
but like is it going to this Bazaar or the employee?
No, the employee takes care of their own one.
I have one question, Mr.
Charles.
Sure, Pablo, your shirt's real nice and real ironed, looks really sharp. be a requirement that if you have an iron shirt, it's going to be ironed?
Yes, thanks to my wife.
But well, not just you, but I mean everybody across the board.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They are.
That was one of their biggest complaints, is that when they would come back, they were just laundered, they were not ironed.
Oh, no.
Right.
Okay.
Or they would be patched in their areas. And yeah.
Okay, so we will require iron shirts get ironed. And okay, thank you.
All right. I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the purchase of the uniforms for the facilities and transportation department.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Agenda item 9I. Any further discussion? Word? Tony?
Mrs. Cassidy?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
And agenda item K.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move to reconsider this at a future date after Mr. Gatlin has checked into local sources.
Well, I can check into them, but for them to get on a purchasing cooperative, it may take a year. Those things come up about every 3 years, so they may have to wait for another contract to come out for a bid proposal for one of the LIBOR or the TCPN or one of those before they can actually put in a proposal. So I'd have to check on when these expire. So it may be a while.
Then maybe you could check on that, bring it back to us, and we could review this
on the 25th.
On the 25th.
Yes, ma'am.
Just real quick, Mr. Chair, one of the concerns I have, I'd rather go local than give the money to either San Antonio or something. And this is the discussion we had last time. The other issue that I have is we need a, when looking just at the cooperative, I want to see some local backup, or I want to see other, and not just the cooperative. I've asked at Nestlon this a lot, so that way we know we're getting the best price, whether we're going with the cooperative or not.
Well, I did get another price from a Chevrolet dealer, Gun Chevrolet. They're also out of the Dallas area. Most of them are out of the Dallas area, and they gave us a price of $25,875 for a similar truck in a Chevy.
And the other issue that we talked about was
a lot
having
more
somebody
money.
To fly somebody to drive it to save money on that cost. So I think we need to look at all that, and then we could just look at the next on the 25th. And then on future dates when we're looking at some of the stuff, if we could look at local quotes with it. I know when we go over a certain amount, we have to go out for the bid process. So we need to look at that as a time factor as well. So in the future, if we could look at that on some of the other
stuff. Yeah, it's $50,000 per year for vehicles. So if we buy two vehicles, we're already over that. So we either have to go out for bid ourselves or use one of the co-ops.
And that's why, you know, with the planning ahead, we'll be able to see if it benefits us, whichever one option we have. So can we just pull it and just, we don't need a...
We can do whatever the board wants, but is this something that we need right away? We've got a plumber without a truck, right?
I'd like to just say that, just don't want to sound like the mill shop, but we feel like we've been neglected. We've had a lot of vehicles. We've been using vehicles that I have never been seen in my life as in my age. We are desperately needed vehicles. We are still, even after this vehicle, we're still going to have two HVACs riding together. We're still going to have two maintenance guys riding together instead of having one maintenance guy riding. Instead of having three attacking all the campuses, we're going to have two going to one campus and then the other one going to the other campus. We're short of vehicles to the point to where even when these vehicles come in, if one goes down, we're going to have to use a buddy system because we're going to give three of our vehicles away back to the schools. So we're still going to be short about two vehicles.
Absolutely.
Mr. Gatlin,
I have a question.
Mendoza.
We have a quote in our board packet, and then we have another one. I assume this is the one for 24?
Yes, that's the new one that they brought back with all the toolboxes and everything we spoke about in the last committee meeting. And the other price wasn't included.
And through the chair, I did in the manila folder, I have a note on that on 9K, clarifying the different quote and then the new quote in the back.
Which was just given to us before.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I would like to stick with my original motion that we postpone this until the 25th.
Oh, you could just pull it.
Yeah, just either, just.
Well, we posted for the 25th. That's fine. That's the will.
All right. Is the board in agreement? Anybody? No dissent from pulling this and discussing it on Tuesday?
I will not be here next week. I'll be on vacation, so we can still work on it, but it doesn't give me a lot of time to do it.
Okay.
I want to bring it back.
All right.
So we're going to.
Martha will be here, right?
Yeah, Martha will be here. So direction from the board. We'll bring it back on Tuesday, the 25th, and we will do what? Different.
Well, bring back what quotes you have, and if it benefits us to go locally, then why not? And if it doesn't, then we'll.
So we'll just get some quotes locally without any.
Well,
is that legal?
It's not legal. It's like you can sit.
Yeah, we'd have to go out for a bid, and not just say locally.
If you're really low, you still can't buy it.
Yeah.
So what's the threshold on this?
The aggregate amount of the contracts, and as I understand, it's probably purchased more than $50,000.
That's with one company. That would be with a cooperative. This is just one vehicle we're looking out, and so we're looking at purchasing one vehicle, which is under the $50,000 threshold.
So it's categories. Categories.
Is it a category?
You can't look at it. I'll check.
Okay.
That's a good question.
And then we could look at that.
I honestly don't recall, but I do think it's limited to the category of equipment that you're buying, not the vendor that you're buying from. I think Mr. Gavin's correct. I'll check and make sure.
Can we do that tomorrow morning since he's going on vacation,
sure,
please?
Right here, 44032.
I'm sorry?
Well, he's. I have the book.
You know, the other thing, guys, we need to consider is we probably need to look at buying a couple more trucks anyways.
Mm-hmm. I could definitely get some off for quotes just to compare. We could definitely do that.
Yeah.
But if you'll notice, like the quote I gave you for 24,534, and then the one for Chevy's 25,875. I mean, they're all, they know where their pricing are. It's all GSA pricing in the government, so they all compete.
Pretty close.
It's by category.
All right, so we'd have to do a bid. Let the.
Why were we given a lower rate quote than previously than they were given a higher?
Well, if you remember, we talked on the committee meeting last week. We talked about just the plain truck, and then we were going to add the toolboxes and the racking and all that.
The whole new bed, and this now has that.
Yeah,
that's all included. So. It was cheaper for us to buy the truck, order it with all that equipment on it,
and to us put it on
the truck
there,
and then have somebody locally put it all on there.
I agree with that, and that's what the man from Cisbaro told me would be the obvious thing to do. I'd like to ask you, though, when you look at this again, the new bid that we just received today has got, there's discrepancies between that and the old bid on, I'm looking just at your destination fee. One's $995, one's $975. You've got your floor plan interest, one's $325, the other's $120.
Yeah, that's based on the cost and how long they keep it in inventory. The $975 is actually the factory price delivered to the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Ford charges the dealer.
Not to what they're going to bring it to us.
Right, it's from the dealership, the factory to the dealership.
Not here.
Not to here. That's okay. What the $300 is for, to deliver it here.
Whereas the other's only going to ask for $120?
Right. It's a bigger truck. It's an F-250. It's heavier.
Okay. So you've already noticed all of this. Okay, thank you.
I look at all that very closely.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
And also, if we can order this tomorrow, I can add it to the PO that we actually have in place right now. We'll be able to save that $400 for the bike work.
Oh.
So there's a little bit of savings there.
Then, do y'all want to pull it? My suggestion is we go with the administration and go ahead and put this on the purchase to save the $400, because if we don't do it now, we won't add it. That's an extra $400.
Maybe he can hold off on that. You know?
Tuesday? It's next Tuesday.
It's up to you guys.
He can hold off on
that. Well, let's take a look at it this way. Are we going to be able to resolve the issue of the bid between now and next Tuesday? No.
We're going to have to use the purchasing cooperative or go out for bid ourselves, either way to purchase it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should buy this and go.
The other ones that we do, we can do that.
I would definitely like to talk to Cisbaro, because we do need somebody in Bridge 19.
Yes.
We got to start the process. Not only that, if we're going to buy another two, three trucks, then we can do the bid for those but I think we probably ought to get
let
this.
Get this
yeah.
one.
And I know someone's a little dealership. I'll talk to the cost report.
Right. Okay. I'll entertain a motion at this time.
I make the motion to approve the administration's recommendation.
On agenda item K, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Agenda item K, further discussion?
Just the same thing to reiterate. I think if we're able to, we know what bond programs are being in place, we know if we can go out for the bid. And we could go out for the bid, and if the buy board is cheaper, then we'll just go with the buy board. If it, at least we did our due diligence and we have a comparison where we...
Yeah, if we've got a list of vehicles that we're planning on purchasing in the future, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, and I agree we ought to do that and open it up to local companies.
And I have no problem with that.
All right. Anybody else? Tony.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
All right. Tony, take us into executive session. Thank you.
Thank you.
How about?
The time is now 9:22 p.m. The meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Sections 551071, 551074, and 551072 for consultation with attorney to discuss possible litigation related to the state school finance system and request from Equity Center to join litigation, discussion of real estate matters including possible sale or acquisition of real estate, and options regarding the district central office, discussion of legal counsel regarding resolution of claim of Mujeres Mora Architects, and discussion of personnel matters.
All right. Tony, next agenda.
Item 7A, discussion of possible action concerning requests from Equity Center to join other school districts in litigation to challenge the current Texas school finance system.
All right. The board, I believe, is going to, by consent of the board, we're going to pull this item for and place it on the agenda for next Tuesday. So,
okay.
Next agenda item.
Item B, discussion and possible action to retain C.B. Richard Ellis as district real estate broker for possible sale and or acquisition of real property.
All right.
Oh, Steve. Do we need a motion?
Go ahead, just direct administration to prepare an agreement for you.
If you just give us direction, you need to actually retain them under Section 11.154
right.
Education Code Act of Brokers. We need a motion to approve their retention subject to us working out the final contract.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve retaining C.B. Richard Ellis as district real estate broker for possible sale and or acquisition of real property and develop the contract administration and our legal counsel stating that.
Second the motion.
All right. We have a motion before the board to retain C.B. Richard Ellis as a district real estate broker for possible sale and or acquisition of real property and direct the administration and counsel to prepare a contract or agreement with C.B. Richard Ellis and to bring back to the board for approval. Any further discussion on this item?
I apologize. Who made the second?
I did.
Thank you. Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Passes. Next agenda item.
Item 8A, 2009-10 Financial Integrity Rating System of Texas, first report.
I move to approve the 2009-2010 Financial Integrity Rating System of Texas' first report, as presented by Mrs. Aguirre.
I'll second that.
All right. We have a motion before the board and a second. I have one question. Martha, with respect to the investment portion, have you found out any?
I did speak with EA earlier this week. There were 51% of our Texas school districts that did receive that the points for that item.
Right.
I wanted to see kind of a makeup, but I did run through about 50, because it's, you know, you have to click on every single one of the school districts. What I found is within those 50, the small districts were the ones that received the 5 points, and it's basically because the small number of students enrolled. Is what helps them. And the TEA also told me that. They did say that they're looking into removing that indicator because they realize that
it's a non.
Right. Within the district, within a region, only Anthony actually received the points. Houston, Dallas, Plano, Arlington, Cypher, all these big districts did not receive their.
Any
point. No points. And so
it's like a non-indicator.
It is. And unfortunately, it was the only one we missed.
Through the chair. Yeah. Steve Blanco, Jared Wallace, and myself are going to be writing a letter to bring to the board a protest letter to send to TEA regarding that subject. That was on that list.
Yeah, to try it through some kind of index. Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. Tony?
Item B is the public hearing to solicit public input.
We
I'm sorry. Just 1 second. Mrs. Cazares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, next agenda.
A, B, public hearing to solicit public comment.
All right.
This time we're holding a public comment regarding our first ratings report. Any community members?
No.
All right. Hearing none.
Mr.
Gatlin. That concludes agenda item 8B.
Ms. Brigham.
Any Brigham?
All right. Tony.
8C has been withdrawn by administration, and
Wait a minute. We don't actually have to go through the report.
No, if it's been presented to the administration in written form.
Is that fine?
Yes.
Okay.
I did also provide the printouts, and I printed like 30, and they're all gone. So
good.
The public that was
you
here
did,
earlier.
You did provide to the public.
Yes. Okay.
All right. That's fine. Exigent then.
Item 8D, bilingual education report regarding limited English proficient LEP students. Mr. Bergambo.
And we. Mr. Chair, I would like to approve the LEP report that has already been presented by Mr. Del Campo at the committee meeting. In compliance with our policy on our LPAC. I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Agenda item 8D. All right, any further discussion from the board agenda item 8D? Hearing none. Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you, Board. And Antonio did provide a letter that's on your stack right now that further clarifies his report. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Antonio.
There you go.
Next agenda.
Item 10A has been withdrawn by the administration, and item 10B is consider approval of purchase of water pump, repair, rebuild, and other infrastructure items related to water pumps at Canutillo High School.
Ernesto.
Thank you. Yeah, is this the same as the last?
Yes, we haven't changed anything, or nothing's changed.
Okay.
And Mr. Right. Chair, with that, I would like to recommend the approval of the pump repairs and enhancements at the Canyon-Teo High School as presented by the administration.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second on agenda item 10B, approve the purchase of the water pump repair build, rebuild and other infrastructure items related to the water pumps at Pennantino High School. And I guess, do we need to give the amount, Council?
Yes.
In the amount of $16,150. And...
That's not all of it. That's not all of it. That's...
Well, I was going to read each one of these items, but I guess we can just give the total, right? Council?
If you have a total number, you can read the total.
Is it
48,000?
Oh,
that's 48,500. Yeah, that's what I'm...
48,500.
40.
It's $48,658.
Okay.
And I'd like to amend my motion to include that amount.
All right. All right, we have an amended motion and a second on agenda item 10B to approve the purchase of the water pump rebuild. And in the amount of $48,658 from Quality Equipment Company. Well, that's correct. All right.
Mr. Cornell, can I just ask a question?
Sure.
I'm sorry, I wasn't present for the facilities meeting. I was looking over the paperwork, though, and I noticed this quotation was provided by Mr. Roger Hernandez. Doesn't he work for one of the guys that was presenting, Schneider? If I remember distinctly when they introduced him,
he works for a controlling equipment company. Schneider was using controlling equipment as their
vendor.
Oh, okay, so that's why he was included in
that's
the
why
equipment.
He was part of the
I know, but I remember when they introduced him, they mentioned he lives in our district.
In the district, yes.
He was a good asset, so I just want to know if there was any ties there.
No, he's an employee of controlling equipment.
Okay. That's all. That's fine.
All right. Any other questions? All right.
Just, I don't know how I'm going to vote on this, but I do want, the November's the architectural ones, and then December bring us the,
you'll get the architectural in December.
Okay. November 1st is the deadline, then the next one.
Right. The bid, okay. Bid closes November 1st.
Yeah, we won't have time to do that.
Okay.
All right. December will be the first meeting. Anybody else? All right. Tony?
Mrs. Hassan?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes. Next agenda item.
Items 10C and D have been withdrawn. Item E is consider approval of work plan and contract with TASB for 2012-2013 compensation plan. Ms. Carrasco?
Good evening, Board President Coronado, Board Members, and Dr. Murphy. I'm here this evening to present to you administration's plan on managing compensation for the 2012-2000 school year. And basically, the presentation that I'm presenting is managing employee compensation in tough times. Even though we've passed the TRE, we're still facing some tough time economic
Stop.
Times. So basically, I just wanted to go ahead and briefly give you an update as to what
Mr. Chair, I would like to approve Ms. Brasco's work plan that she has presented to us already.
You want me to call?
And this is real important to provide.
I'll second that. In a nutshell, what text we're asking is for TASB to assist us with the compensation plan for the 12-13. And when we were at the TASB conference, Dr. Murphy and I had the opportunity to meet with a representative from TASB that provides the HR services, and we did discuss this. Dr. Murphy has requested from TASB that there are certain perimeters built in the study that they want to do. And let me just go real quick here. Basically, what Dr. Murphy has suggested to them, and they've included it in their contract, is that we're going to compare this district with 24 other Texas ISDs that we have used as comparison. For example, Region 19 schools, ISDs, and then other districts that we've used as comparison. For example, with the task, the testing, we used ISD similar size and demographics, those that are between 5,000 and 7,000 students. And then we also did comparison studies with other districts that were similar and in a similar suburban area, just as our district. So it's 24 districts. He also wanted and told them that we must have a local verification component. In other words, through my office, we will be working closely with TASB to verify the information that they are providing us. And then also in the architecture of the study, basically, there is a recommendation that there's a 10% adjustment, salary adjustment, to provide some flexibility to the plan. And so these are the parameters that Dr. Murphy has set out with TASB, and they have agreed to those conditions.
Through the chair. President, one of the concerns that the team of aides had in the past is that TASB is just a one-size-fit-all type of comparison. And these three parameters allow us to open up that box. We are picking 24 specific districts that we think we match up to best. They'll also run the entire state, but along with that, they will run these 24. We will do our own verification of their data. Not all of it, but at least a portion of it, we will verify. And the third thing is that we will allow flexibility where we think TASB is wrong in their salary or pay rate. We will have some flexibility as administration to recommend to the board a variance. And that will not be a special thing. That will actually be built into the architecture of the study from the first moment out. It'll show plus minus types of things. So we will use TASB for the bulk of the work, but we're customizing it to the needs of Canyon TO ISD. I'm also pleased to say that the cost around $10,000 is about half of what we paid last time we used TASB when we did the budget stakeholders reductions, where it was $20,000. So we're getting a good bargain out of it too.
Mr. Chair.
And it is $10,000 is the fee and plus travel.
Plus travel.
Mr. Right. We're allowing $15,000.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I just want to add one more parameter, and that's the one that I've talked a lot of, pretty much the whole time, is where we look at, I want to see what the high is and what the average is on each area, each one of those parameters, whether it's the 24 Texas ISDs that are similar to us in our region. I want to see what the high is, what the median is, and what the low is. And then I want to see where we're at. On an Excel sheet, I want, let's say it's first-year teachers. This is El Paso, Isleta, Socorro. And then this is what the average is. This is the high on that first year, and this is the low. And then this is where we stand on that. So that's the parameter I would like to add.
And I'm certain that that is information that they will be providing to us.
Let's make sure.
Yes, so and the intention here is that we work very closely with TASB, and given that we have that allotment for travel, they will be coming down and what I hope is that they have a lot more interaction, not only with administration, but with the board, and that you have, you know, to ask any of those questions that in the past maybe you haven't been answered totally, and I guess, you know, for the process to be very interactive for all of us.
Can we just add on parameter 4, the high, average, median, and then the low?
Okay.
Yeah, but the high average, medium, and low within our region or within the state?
On all three.
On the 24?
Yeah, so one on the 24, one in our region. So region we'll know where we're at, where we stick on our region, and then we'll know where we're at when we stick that.
High, low, medium, and low. Yeah, and those, even after they do the study, those basically are just statistics that we run out anyway.
Yes.
All right.
That's it, I think, right?
Yes, and so I do just would like I'm recommending to the board to move forward with this so that we can go ahead and process the contract.
And then, through the chair, one last comment. I just want the board to, going into this eyes wide open, that we are retaining TASB. TASB is going to do the majority, the bulk of the work for us, but these parameters will allow us to customize it a little bit. So we just need to know that going in, because I know some board members have said that they don't trust TASB as much as maybe administration does.
I think what happened last time is that we didn't do the verification issues, yeah, and we didn't allow for customization, and we just...
So we have these parameters, we'll add the fourth parameter, but we all, when we approve tonight, we understand that TASB is going to be doing this.
All right.
Question.
Mark,
when do you propose that TASB will be coming?
Well, as soon as we get this contract signed and off to them, I'm sure they're going to be sending us their package with the instructions of what they need from us. So they're giving me 30 days to prepare all the information and get it back to them. And at that point in time, we're wanting to, I think they said they'd have everything done by April. And the reason that we want to do it, you know, now, is because we want to prepare the information for the budget process. But at the same time, I don't want the same thing happening that happened to us in the summer, where we had to turn it around really quick. We had to make some critical decisions and didn't have enough time to really, you know, sit down through. And so now I want it to be a slower process, and it gives us a lot more time to think about the information as it's being presented.
All right. Anybody else? All right.
I move to approve.
All right.
With the exception of?
With adding the new parameter four.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. I'm getting the item. Where are we?
E.
And E. Further discussion? Hearing none, Tony?
Mrs. Cassidy?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
All right. Next agenda item.
Item 10F has been withdrawn by the administration. And item G, consider approval of academic language services furniture prior year's expenditure. Ms. Lucky.
We provided a memo 2 weeks ago related to the ALS furniture. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, they're familiar with it.
Okay.
So we just need to make a payment?
Actually,
for proper procedures?
At this point right now, I did speak with our external auditors, and they said within their area of audit, this is immaterial and they wouldn't be looking at it. I did contact TEA and they haven't given me any guidance. They're looking into it and then we'll let us know.
What did our local auditor say?
It's immaterial. They will not.
That recommending of TEA.
They understand that they recommended it and we're in agreement. Let TEA know and then let them give you the guidance.
So we need to do the reimbursement though?
Nothing yet. TEA.
So, Are you just bringing that up to us, or?
Administration is disclosing to the board.
Right, we're providing the information, and if once it's TA provides the guidance, if it is about, you know, making a payment back or something, that's where you will need your approval because it's over $10,000.
Okay.
But at this time, right now, It's just information.
Just motion.
And I'm waiting on TEA to give me additional guidance.
Okay.
We don't need to do anything whatsoever on our half.
Nothing.
To take the onus off of our backs.
We've disclosed okay. to both TEA and the external auditors, and TEA just indicated that they're not quite sure what we're...
Because I think Mr. Coronado could tell us very much the disprison of a felony is a very real thing, and that is exactly what we'd be guilty of if we weren't.
Now, the communication has been initiated, and right now I'm just waiting on their guide.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, then we'll just keep in contact.
All right, that's we will then go on to the next agenda item.
Adjournment.
By unanimous consent, the board to adjourn. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, board. Appreciate it. We'll see you Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy